This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Like a shadow, I fade again. In the darkness, I'm your light. But you can't find me, you must be blind. Days go by, and I just wait. Someday you'll see me, someday.
Didn't want to go. Reflecting on the memory has me Never knew the word was true until with you this new desire. I wanna provide for you and ride right through the night to new horizons. There's no disguising, none the wise and blindsided. Hindsighted 2020, tonight we getting plenty friendly. We don't know each other, you were dirty, you're so pretty. Getting dirty, wanna hurt me, play absurd, we say the word. At least a kiss, you twist your hips, a piece of this, that use your lips.
Hey. Let's be lovers under the covers. Oh, like butter.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude for 777.
Oh!
I didn't buy my lottery ticket today, dude.
Like it would help. Yeah, luck be a lady tonight, and we're fags, so.
Yeah, so that's.
That ain't coming.
Yep.
Oh, well.
And who are you?
The Sooner Grout proud purchaser of the Octopus. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Mr. Limpy. I mean, Jamie Carper, and I'm the other one.
And if you Google Mr. Limpy and Screaming Octopus, you'll find out where we're at on the net right now.
Oh, my.
Unless you're Dwayne, when hopefully your internet crashes.
Yes. Well.
Ooh, training.
Yes, we're looking at...
product placement.
Yes.
And I know where that can be placed.
Hey, we were talking about Mistress Eden earlier tonight.
Actually, we're going to have the naughty Michelle on later on the second segment tonight, starting at about 2:30. And she is going to be talking about the sensation, the pansexual kink fest that she's putting on next weekend. So I'm very excited to hear about that. We haven't had Michelle on in a while. She's, she's just, you just never know what the show is going to be like when Michelle is here. She's just unpredictable.
Definitely there won't be a Mr. Limpy in the house.
And I'm assured that Whitney will be here, and along with some slut that she's going to bring with her. So
he says that in, the kindest and...
Well, I fully intend to play with this slut tonight.
And surprise, you registered on my face, why?
But before that, we're going to have the wholesome hour because Hatch will be here at 1:30. So, a little something for everyone
that's
tonight.
That's good, because I hate to have to clean and sanitize the room just to bring Hatch in.
I know. So, that's why we're having them on first. Yeah, so we don't have to do that.
In and out, tucked into bed before we bring in the...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And perhaps we're going to have Colt 45s. We don't know yet. They have not arrived, but first we want to talk about the music.
Now, wait a minute. There's no excuse for that, because they did ask.
What?
No, that was a Rhesus that asked.
Yes.
Wait a minute. He's with Colt 45s, though, too.
Yes, I know.
I told him.
I know, but it's too late now.
Bird brain.
Tell me about the music. What was that last number? That was
Joshua. It was like butter.
Joshua Clip.
Yeah, we did a double shot of Joshua.
No, we didn't. Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Thank you for playing.
A Clip and a Duffy.
Yes, Joshua Clip.
Very different people, by the way. Joshua Clip is a transsexual male.
Which explains the vulva hands on his cover.
Oh, okay. Vulva hands?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, they're upside down to be vulva hands.
Oh, they're making a vulva.
He needs to push him closer.
Gotcha. Stop. Well,
he was busy before he changed.
Well, depends, yes. Mm. Okay.
Sign language.
Gotcha.
It's vulva hands.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, at least that's what I've been told. I'm not familiar with the territory.
To move on.
Yes, please.
Not from that angle. The only time I've been in that area was coming out this way. So
stop.
He came out and turned around and said, that's not for me.
And what did we hear from Joshua Clip?
Butter.
Oh, you were... that
Butter.
Butter, gotcha.
Butter.
Gotcha.
Featuring Catastrophe.
Ooh. Okay, that was a good choice then.
Well, I mean, you only highlighted three, and it's like Rescue Me, And, you know, we're playing, sing a, you know, you do, the first song had to do with love or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, Rescue Me didn't sound right, and Backstabbing didn't sound right.
Oh,
so.
Okay, so Butter.
Butter.
Because Josh Duffy, we started the show out with I Will Love You from his CD, Artificial. And it was kind of funny because I got an email today, just today, from a person by the name of Bruce To You, who listens to us online from New Orleans and wanted to know more about Josh Duffy. And I can tell you that, he wants to know where he can get that CD. And this CD is done by J America Music. And J period America Music. And if you go to dubcubedjoshduffyonline.com or myspace.com/joshduffyonline, those would be the two places to get it. Joshduffy. He's a very, very cute 20-something blonde from Houston. Oh, the pictures are horrible on the CD. He is much cuter. Much, much cuter in person.
Yeah,
and I told him that, too. I said he needs to fire his photographer.
Yes, but save the manager.
Pride events.
Oh, isn't he a doll?
I
don't know. Personally, I was interested more in the manager. Manager, agent, whoever the other.
I see. So, I met him.
Other half.
Actually, he didn't know who I was, and I bought the CD off of him. And then I told him who I was, and I promised I'd play at least one cut, and gosh, that was about 2 months ago, and we've played him six out of the 8 weeks that. And the only reason, I think one week I wasn't here, the other week was Pride Week, and so, you know, we always play anthems, so. I love him. I think he's great. Plus, he is, not only is he working on his musical career, but he is taking time out to lend his musical talents to different fundraisers around town. He's been raising money for different causes, so
good.
I think that is really, really cool. So, joshduffyonline.com. And let's see, things going on around the neighborhood. First, I'm going to talk about something that happened last week because I was so impressed. It's we had the second annual Miss Thang Texas pageant. And that is kind of a takeoff for the Miss Texas pageant.
Right.
It happens the same night, and it's very much like Miss Camp America used to be with the Miss America thing. We have contestants, and then we pick five, and when the top five are picked at the Miss Texas, we have somebody there who calls us to let us know. Which
states?
Well, which counties?
Regions.
Oh, yeah. Texas. Yeah.
And so we assign because we have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different, and then so that's how we assign these numbers to, and they get the little, you know, tacky. Oh, tacky little sashes. You know, we write on them as we're getting them over the telephone. Yeah, and so you know, we have that, and then we get down to at the very end when they do it at the Miss Texas at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We get that information, and we do it here. And well, we also have, you know, evening gown and talent and question and answer, and. I was so very impressed with one of our contestants because last year we had camp questions. This year they were really serious questions. And one of the contestants is a transsexual in her 20s from a small Texas town. And the question was, what does Stonewall mean to you? And I was biting my nails because I thought, oh, this girl has no idea what Stonewall is. I'm telling you that Miss Lauren Brock got up on that stage, and she just went on for 5 minutes about what Stonewall was, what happened, the meaning, and how it affected her, and how she is so proud, you know, to... I was floored. And as luck would have it, she is our Miss Thang Texas.
Ah.
Yes. Yes. So, Lauren Brock, Miss Thang Texas, for 2008. And we're very, very proud of that. Ah. So, that's what happened last week. Now, tomorrow, or today, later today, is the Louis kickoff party. Since we don't have anybody here from HCC to talk about it. That's happening from 3 to 5 p.m. at EJ's. That's put on by the Houston Council of Clubs. And they're going to have the unveiling
of the pin and poster.
And V-E-I-L.
I didn't send that one out. No one's taking responsibility for putting it on the calendar.
No, I know. And that's the unveiling party of the winning pin and poster that will be used for Louis 35.
Hello?
This is a big deal.
Whoops.
Louis 35. So, whoops.
Someone hit the wrong button.
That's happening. And while they're there, the Whip Society is going to be holding a 30-minute cocktail party, EJ's, to congratulate the winner of the 2008 Louis Pin and Poster Contest. So, if, you know, you didn't have enough impetus to go there and see the winning pin and poster contest, here's some free booze. So, hello? Well, what do you do? What do you know? So, yes.
What?
Do you have some information for us in there?
Unfortunate, yes. it's Lauren Borg.
Borg?
Yeah, Lauren Borg.
I did not know that.
Miss Pang?
Oh, my God. I am so embarrassed. You know, I knew Lauren before Lauren was Lauren. Oh, my goodness.
To the listeners of the city of Houston, I apologize. I hit the wrong button.
No.
Oh my
well, you did that, but you know, the show before us left the line on here, so it went on air.
Oh, okay. Well, wasn't that fun?
Just for
anyway,
1 second.
Lauren Borg, I apologize.
And oops. That was your friend, Sarah, passing along your information.
Oh, Sarah with her lovely showlanders?
That's the one.
Oh, I see, yes. And her showlanders were in full view tonight at the Hollywood show over at EJ's.
Oh?
Yes. So much so that Sarah's wife was not happy about it because she was afraid that too much of Sarah Showlanders were showing to the audience there.
That the goodies might attract unwanted attention?
Well, Sarah was wearing a bustier.
Ah.
And she is very amply endowed.
I believe the phrase from our show is referred to as bodacious tatas.
Something like that. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. She does have bodacious tatas.
You've got to been around here for a while to remember the phrase bodacious tatas.
Yes. Anyway, Borg, Lauren Borg, my. Why did I think it was... Never mind.
I've given up trying to figure out what you're thinking.
Okay.
I occasionally want to try and get some sleep. Yeah.
Well, here's something else I'm going to screw up. Because tomorrow night, Sunday night, is it's not an ISOH function, but it's called, there's a show over at the BRB called Battle of the Bands, and the email that I have says it's being put on by Southern Comfort, and I don't think that's the right group. I think it's Southern Country.
Yeah, Southern Country is the dance group.
That's what I thought.
Southern Comfort is the drink.
Yeah, well,
they're always correcting. They're always correcting us on that.
SOUTHRYN, Southern. So, but it's still Southern Country. Okay.
Somebody's putting on something tomorrow.
That's right. Basically, there'll be production numbers done by several organizations. These numbers will be judged by a panel of judges, and whomever they deem put on the best number will get the money that is donated that evening. So, isn't that cool?
That works.
Yeah. So it's a great way for different organizations to make some money. So I know ICOH is going to be involved in that because I'm going to be part of it. So we have no chance of winning. Absolutely no chance of winning. But some other things, some fabulous things going on by ICOH. Of course, breakfast every Sunday at 10 o'clock at Mary's. Yes. It's $3 a plate, $5 all you can eat, and that's a wonderful way to be able to get your drink of choice at 10 o'clock in the morning instead of having to wait until noon to get it. Other things going on. Of course, the Jukebox Show every Wednesday night at Mary's at 8:30, 9 o'clock. And Friday the 13th at EJ's is going to be candidate announcement. And that is the announcement of who is running for Emperor and Empress for next year of ICOH. There'll be a show there. And then, you have something there to talk about because it's something that's happening next Saturday night at EJ's. No, the next one.
Oh, this thing.
Oh, yes, that thing.
Yeah. Hold on.
Sarah's calling back. She wants to go on air.
We'll talk to him. I'm supposed to read this. Mm-hmm. Clear it with him. On the radio. Donna Summer says, tune in your radio. What?
That's the worst Donna Summer impression I've ever heard in my life.
I'm fat, white, and suburban. You expect me to do Donna Summer?
Well, that's true.
Turn on your radio to 90.1 FM for KPFT Radio Station's Fundraising Gala. The event will take place on Saturday, July 14th at EJ's Bar and Grill, 2715 Ralph Street.
Okay.
I don't know. We're starting at, it says 9:30, but we're really going to be starting at 90.901 from to 11. We'll be out of there in time for the Dick Dancers. Hosts will be James Crawford and KPFT multiple personalities, Jimmy Carver and Chris Harrison. KPFT has been there to broadcast all GLBT club, organization, and community events. Now it's our turn to support them. KPFT is a 501c3 organization and it's open to all performers. For more information, call. What? Apparently, we're stopping this information to go to a live breaking news.
Oh, I thought you were finished.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Sarah Showlander.
Yes, we heard you're showing off your Showlanders.
I was showing off the Showlanders earlier.
Yes, you were, and they are lovely.
Thank you. And yes. As much as I love Jimmy Carver, and yep. He knows it.
What did I screw up now?
I do need to correct him on one small point.
Again.
The show tomorrow night at the BRB is actually hosted by the drag queen, Southern Comfort.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I am very, very serious.
Boy, I really screwed up, didn't I?
Yes, you did, darling.
I'm so glad a friend is listening in. You know, somebody hateful would just let me go on. And
but, you know, honey, I love you, so that's why I have to call. Make sure that the correct information is out there for the community.
That is just...
Because if you leave it in Jimmy's hands, you know.
I know. Well, I just got to email, and I thought, well, that just doesn't sound right. I didn't know there was a drag queen by the name of Southern Comfort.
There is, and she is absolutely, totally fabulous, stunning.
Really?
She is awesome, awesome. I love this woman. She's awesome. She will work a stage like nobody else in this town.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My wife is in the background saying, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your wife
was a buzzing sound
tomorrow night, huh?
What?
You and your wife will be there tomorrow night.
Absolutely, most definitely.
Okay.
Yes, BRB tomorrow night, and it's Southern Comfort is the drag queen that is hosting this show.
What time is it?
I think it's 7:30.
Okay, that works on the Sunday
All right.
night. Yeah, a little bit earlier. Okay.
Yes. All right.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Who knew it was a drag queen? I thought it was the dance group, you know, and I was getting excited because I was going to get to see Eric again. Eric from Southern Comfort, Southern Country, the dance group.
Uh-huh.
was in a show on July 4th over at Tony's Corner Pocket, and they were auctioning off underwear. And Eric had had a few adult refreshing beverages, too many, and had offered to model some of the underwear if they, you know, if they reached a goal of $500. Of course, they did.
And Stanley's wondering where his checkbook went.
And so they made him model this purple mesh underwear that looked, he came out on stage and it was like he was naked. And it was a wonderful sight to behold.
Jimmy, you look even more glassy-eyed than normal.
I know. I know. It is imprinted in my memory forever. Anyway, we do have the late Colt 45s here, don't we?
One.
The late? Well, speaking of, on a segue, you know that Eric is one of the members of the Colt 45 Citizens Advisory Board.
Is he? I didn't know that.
Yes, he is. He's a first-time listener, long-time caller, and he's. We have our ATF. Well, let me first say thank you to Jimmy and Chris and everybody here at KPFE Radio that listens to you.
KPFE,
KPFT. I just woke up. You know, I've got a toothache, but and it was one of those things, oh, my goodness, I'm supposed to be someplace else. But the Colt 45 is the AIDS Trouble Fund, helps people with rent utility assistance. And we also, you don't have to be a Colt. You can also be a non-member of the Colt 45. So we like people from the outside to come in and see that what we do, how the money gets dispersed.
Mm-hmm. A little touch of transparency.
And Eric has served on our Citizens Advisory Board for the better part of 2 years.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's just got a yummy-looking hooter.
What? A hooter? He has a harmonica? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And I bet it plays well.
La, 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 la. Yes, he
terribly
does.
Embarrassed to have to go through that after, you know, he mistakenly made the offer.
I don't want to, you know, encourage him not to come back to the Colt 45, because anything I say is merely the opinion and thoughts of this one individual,
well,
not necessarily the organization. Because
I think it was impetus for that show to
impetus.
Raise more
oh,
money,
okay.
You know, and that's the whole idea, yes. Because not only did he model underwear, but there were two other people who said if you raise $500, we'll match it.
Oh, wow.
So
the money. Okay.
So
I didn't know what they were matching. But
so that show.
I wasn't sure.
That show ended up raising $1,575.
Oh, wow.
It was, yeah. It was really, really a great show.
But I was
so happy I was there. And not only did I have an excellent view for the fireworks, but I also had an excellent view for the fireworks.
Well, you know, a couple of Roman candles never hurt.
I mean. He is good.
But how
was so
it? How big were his M80s?
You see, this is why people never tell me things, you know? And
oh, no, the reason people never tell you anything is because you have a radio show.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, no, he's just never going to make that offer again if I walk into the room.
That's one of the good things. You do not have to join an organization or club. You know that, to come out and have fun.
That's right. And everybody had fun, and they raised a lot of money, and that's the whole point of it.
And if you have talent and or ambitions, and sometimes those are not the same thing. I'm sorry. It's late, and I just woke up. Or it's early and I just woke up. One of the two.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of organizations that will let you help out in any way you want to a point. And
whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. You know, raise those dollars one by one.
And that's what we do at the Colt 45, and I thank you for your time, everybody here. Because right now, one of the reasons I want to make sure that we were represented tonight, because mm-hmm. I had found out that I keep waiting to sneeze. Sorry about that.
You smell good.
Well, my nose works.
Mm.
Is that what it is? I've been rubbing against somebody good, I think.
Oh, I see.
That's all you say. Boy, that's a very nice fragrance you have on. What magazine did you get it out of? You never know. I know with things starting to get a little bit tight within the government,
mm-hmm.
The Colt 45s are available for rent and utility assistance.
That's right.
For people. Even if you are a client with another organization or something, if your balance runs out or if you get into a tough situation, the Colts are not assisted living, but once you've extended exhausted your trials at other places.
That's right.
The Colts can help you get by.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of other people. We have newer people on our advisory board from other organizations. It's nice to be able to work with different organizations.
Yes.
They refer us to their clients to us, and we refer them back to them or other,
cool.
Other people. So it's a good under the radar sort
mm-hmm.
of group,
because mm-hmm.
We do everything we do with the Age of Trouble Fund, other than the fundraising and getting out and about and having
sure.
social stuff. We do that during the week, and so you don't have to be a weekend warrior to help out.
Oh, that's right.
With our organization.
That's right. I know.
So it's kind of
ATF meeting.
You know that there's a
like
there's
on
a
Tuesday night.
There's a lot of organizations that do things Monday through Friday, so
mm-hmm.
it's not just all out and about in the bar. Sometimes it's darn, it's work.
Yeah.
It's that W-E-R-K word.
W-E-R-K, yeah. That's what gets it done. And the members of the Colt 45s are folks that's what they want to do. And they do it for free. You know, it's part of what...
No overhead cost.
There's no overhead cost.
Thank goodness for people like the BRB, who is our home bar.
Yeah.
To all the courts
mm-hmm.
and other organizations, not only in Houston, but across the state. There's a lot of people to help out.
Yeah.
The PWA, we have the Christmas in July coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They help out our clients with help give them a small donation. It depends on, you know, how good the years is, but it works out to about $100 per client.
That's
on our
nice.
Client list.
That's nice. And,
so,
you know, when you're living on SSI,
it's
half your money goes for rent, the other half goes for drugs, you know, it's always nice to get $100 every now and then to buy food.
Well, and
or something.
A lot of people have always said, well, you know, they can use that Christmas of July money. I said, no, it's supposed to be, I don't know if we've talked about this before. That's mad money.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
nice. It's in July and December,
exactly.
so it's a fun thing.
Yeah.
And that's always great with PWA and
mm-hmm.
Even Southern Comfort. I love you, Derry. Well, I know, you know, it's... there's a lot of organizations. In Southern Country, too.
Being yeah, Southern
in the home bar.
Yes.
There's a lot of good organizations. GCAM, we love GCAM. We get along with just about everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we get along with everybody. Who did I say that on the radio?
Yeah.
Can you erase that?
I didn't. I forgot to talk about GCAM because we've got a brand new installation that we've just done.
Oh, really?
Over at Mecca.
Oh, really?
Which is the Multicultural Educational Council of the Arts.
That's
located in an old schoolhouse on 1700 Kane Street. Now, for those of you, that's the 6th Ward, and it's about a block and a half behind the old RMCC Church over
really?
There. Yeah.
Those of you scoring at home, or even if you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We just did an installation called After the Parade is Over, and it's artwork and posters and things covering Pride and the Names Projects and other things throughout the years.
That's great.
So it's in their cafetorium.
Really? So we can go over there and check that out?
Yes. And from like 9 a.m. to 8 p.m.
I'll be darned.
But from be well aware that from 9 until 4, I mean, this is an actual school, so there are classes with elementary school children there. So,
That's nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we worked with them and got that up last week.
See, I'm glad we had this talk.
See?
Because you always help promote us. We forget the
thank you.
You've got a few outside,
Yeah.
distractions as well.
And GKM also is getting set up next week. Early next week, we're doing a photo shoot for Outsmart.
Oh, wow.
For an event coming up in September, which is called, it's a drag closet. We're starting up for guys who maybe go and drag once a year. And, you know, you don't want to have to go out and buy a whole bunch of stuff. So we're going to have stuff available to, you know, loan out.
Does that particular drag closet have a name?
Why, yes, it does. It's the Queen Kong Earthquake Tony Watford Memorial Drag Closet for Desperate Drag Queens.
Okay,
I don't think I got it exactly right.
And that didn't spell anything out either.
No.
If you take the first initials.
No,
for those of you who knew Tony,
and
Earthquake, mm-hmm. and if you didn't know her, you probably were.
And before Earthquake, she called herself Queen Kong.
Right.
Yes.
But you were probably affected in some way because Eartha was a sight to behold.
Yeah. The official opening will be September 22nd at Mary's.
There are a lot of people who do that mm-hmm. in their spare time and in every waking moment, and Eartha was one of those fabulous people. On a good night, she was great, and mm-hmm. on a bad night, she was even better sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We got a painting today, actually. That an artist did that we're going to be auctioning off.
Oh, wow.
It's a face of Eartha and a face of Tony.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
we're talking more in September.
This is an artist who donated her work.
Oh, wow.
So.
Being Daddy Montrose and Eartha being a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And what a mother she was.
What a mother.
That she left her mark.
She certainly did.
But they patched the stage. Love you, Ty.
Yes, and we will have, we've got several of her outfits that, one or two may be able, we haven't made the decision yet, one or two may be able to go into the closet, but certainly most of her stuff is going to be going to the archives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's really
But nice. We'll have outfits from other drag queens that'll be either modeled or on forms to be displayed. We'll be doing a show, and I mean it's going to be a big deal. September 22nd. So mark your calendars.
And if you're interested, Tony was not dainty. He was he was your average sized human being.
Tony, there's a reason. Tony was called Queen Kong and Earthquake. Tony was a big girl. Really big girl. Not many bigger. And so,
quit looking on this side of the glass when you say that.
Well, I wasn't looking at you. It was the reflection. Now, hey, 2 years ago, and this is a good segue, I don't know if you talked about this, with the poster, pin and poster unveiling for mm-hmm. Louis Weekend
yes.
unveiling tomorrow.
Yes.
But I do remember a certain organization, Earth Moving Under Their Feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't...
Oh.
Uh-oh, he's
that was the song that we had that our group danced to at Louis. Performed
okay.
So.
When the big men came out and you heard that, I feel the earth move under my feet,
yes.
and it was, this is just going to go downhill. So, and it did. It was fabulous.
Yes, it was. It was. It was.
How does it feel to have to one-up yourself every year now? It's fabulous, isn't it?
Well, you know, what'll help is, you know, we'll be doing the speed bump next week when Jimmy and I perform.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I guess, you know, from Broccoli Spears to what's going on next week, I'll be on that downward slope again, so I'll be ready to go back up for Louie.
Yeah, I mean, because we haven't even practiced yet. We're going to have to do all the practicing this week.
Oh, really?
Oh, we are?
Yeah. Yeah, we will be practicing.
That's probably going to mess up your timing. But, you know.
It doesn't... It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
What he wants to perform to, we're going to be the only two people in the place that's going to know who they are.
Because we all know how well-rehearsed this show is.
I know.
And, you know, you have that certain timing.
I'm gonna have to rush you up because...
Not a problem.
Yeah, you know, we're running
I was
really over time, and anything... that the cult is doing in particular that you want to talk about?
No, we just have a lot of help from a lot of friends.
Good.
PWA Holiday Charities. There's Christmas in July. Real quickly, it's in July.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
And the denim party at the BRB, but no, other than that,
yeah.
Lots of help from our friends from ICOH.
Good.
And,
Anoresis.
Southern Country. Oh, I was getting there. Say everybody.
Okay.
It's better to say everybody than list people because you'll miss somebody. There's
absolutely.
A lot of people that are off the map too. Crew of Olympus, who we just love. So, I mean, there's a lot of organizations that love us and help us. And the Lone Star Nudist.
Yeah.
They give you the shirt off their... Well, never mind.
Yeah. It's time for Hatch.
Thank you, After Hours, Jimmy, Chris.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for getting out of bed just for me.
Ooh, anytime.
You could have just invited him over.
Now if I just get him in bed,
Yeah, hey, Jimmy would try and do a live remote.
Okay, oh yeah.
Ooh.
From Stephen's bedroom.
Ooh.
And let's take it over to Bill Budd. We'll be back.
So here things are always good. And so here things always go like they should. And so here I am still in this place. And so here.
Remember.
This is what happens when Jimmy brings the whole CD stuff and I get to dig and root around and find something a little different. That was Bill Budd. And so here, song I really like. I've had that for a while. We don't play it a lot. You're listening to After Hours. I'll go through the rest of the stuff. I'm going to interrupt him in 10 minutes here. 1, 2, 3. It's time now for Hatch. Your mics are on.
Hey.
Yo.
Welcome to Hatch Radio.
As the crowd
goes
quiet.
We'll do a short introduction of who we are.
Hi, I'm Greenlee.
I'm Laura.
I'm Brendan, one of the adult facilitators for Hatch.
And I'm Chris. Today, we're going to talk about gay racism.
Well, as the ethnic minority here, I think I'll start it off. I'm an African-American of mixed race, but I identify more with African-American. And I have to say that the gay people in the black community generally only date other African-Americans. And I don't know why that is. I guess it's more of a turn of being black, you know, let's not go and do the whole mixed racial thing. That's more for black people that have been raised with other white people, and, you know, let's just stay together. I guess it's, I don't know what it is, but that's just how it is. And I do notice that I don't see that many mixed race lesbian couples or with gay men. It's always some white guy and a Latino guy or some cute little Asian guy. And I sort of think, and maybe it's my own sort of prejudice, I think that white gay people see being with another person, being with a person of another race, as it's sort of like a fetish. Like, oh, this is my cute little Latino or my cute little black guy with the huge, which that is not true for all black guys, should I say.
I think that's totally right. I think there's a lot of discrimination in the community because of what your race is. But I think there's also a lot of fetishes. I know, you know, some gay men who only date Asians. I know some gay men who only date black men. I know some gay men who refuse to date anyone that's not white. So I think there's discrimination, and I think there's also fetishes, and I think there's preference.
Well, like, I just think, like, you like what you like. And, I mean, I've been with people that were Hispanic and African American, and just, like, really, if you're, that's what you're attracted to, it's, I don't know if you can call it being racist, you know?
Right.
Well, no, it's one thing to have your preference, but it's another thing to not date someone because of their race, or just simply because you have certain, oh, because they're black, they're going to be this way, because they're Hispanic, they're going to be this way. It's totally different.
Right. I mean, I know I've dated black women. I've dated Venezuelan, Hispanic, Colombian, and it's all been pretty rad. And I've dated white people. And to me, it's all the same. I think it's something like, you know, you can like about someone, like girls with short hair. You begin to like it. You know, you find out something about them. You're like, yeah, I really like that short hair on them. You find out something about someone, like, yeah, I really like they're Hispanic. It could be something like that.
So what was your favorite flavor?
You know, I don't know if I could choose, honestly. It really depends on the person. I prefer people who are foreign, who are not too familiar with the American culture, who are kind of, they think outside the box, whether they were raised American or, so I think mine is more on a nationality thing.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. And I'm not picking on what you said. I just think it'd be a good thing to discuss, a good conversation starter. By asking what your favorite flavor is, do you think that in itself is a racist way of looking at the dating dynamic? Do we look at the color of the skin? Do we look at the race a person is? One way or the other, and that's racist or not racist, or do we just take it completely away, or is that even realistic?
I think we absolutely look at it. First and foremost, I think as a human race, we gravitate more towards people who are like us because it's familiarity. And I would say that being a sexual minority, you would look at it totally differently. But I have to say, there are times where I'll look at another black woman and I'll think, yeah, we probably have more in common. But as a lesbian, I know I have more in common with Caucasian women because, you know, I'm one of those sort of, I listen to Melissa Etheridge, I listen to the Indigo Girls, and I know that I don't know any black people that listen to Melissa Etheridge, the Indigo Girls, the Butchies, none of that. So I think, so because of how I am, I look at it more towards, okay, I know people in this culture will be more into what I like, and that just happens to be Caucasians. Not to say that I wouldn't date a black or Hispanic woman, because I also listen to, you know, R&B, hip-hop, and whatever, but I think as a people, we just tend to gravitate more towards people who are like us.
Well, is that being racist, though? Like, that's the question, like, it's not really, I don't see, like, wanting to only, like, having a fetish or, like, you know, wanting to date a certain race. I don't see that as racist at all.
I think it's all about, you know, defining people, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, what we can relate to, what we're familiar with, what's in our comfort zone. It's like just how seeing someone's race, knowing if you're going to click with them or not, is like labeling people butch or femme.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some people prefer femme, some people prefer butch, some people stay away from femme, some people stay away from butch. And it's all about what you're comfortable with and what you can label and click in your mind, okay, we're going to get along. And so I think that works a lot with race.
Do we equate that with racism? Someone who will only date someone who is butch or someone who will only date someone who is femme? Or is that in the same category, I wonder?
I think it is, because I don't... Sometimes I get, like, a lot of, I don't get, like, a lot of respect from other lesbians because I'm either too feminine, you know, too feminine, and it's frustrating, and I consider it to be, like, racism or prejudice against me because, like, they don't show me respect as, like, in general. Like, they won't acknowledge me because they think, like, I'm, like, a fake lesbian or something. Whereas I think if you if you're kind to someone and acknowledge them no matter what their race, I don't, like, you know, it's different to not want to date them. Like, you know what I'm saying?
What do you, as an African American in the group, do you equate that in the same category?
Absolutely not. I do not think it is on the same level of racism whatsoever. But I do feel that it is a form of prejudice. You know, thinking, oh, because she's super, super femme, that she's not a lesbian. Or that she's probably bisexual, or she's probably just, you know, into the moment. That is not right for an opinion such as that. And I noticed that with the whole butch femme paradigm, we think, oh, because they're butch, they're this stone cold, hard as nails, gonna be tough, da da da. And because they're femme, they're supposed to be. I'm sorry for
I'm really sorry. Preach as a certain go.
That because they're femme, they're supposed to be weak and submissive. When I have dated butch women that are very passive, and I know extremely dominant femmes. I mean, so if you're labeling butch femme by how someone dresses, but I see butch femme more as a state of mind,
yeah,
a state
too.
Of being.
Well,
I have a really good friend, and she says that, butch women, she likes butch women because they are like they're so sweet and like, you know, and they're not like hard like they look and everything. I think that's totally true.
It's totally true. It was butch women who really, really formed the lesbian community at the very beginning because they were the ones who got the attention. When I first started getting into the gay community, I didn't understand butch women at all. And this is coming from a transgender person. I didn't get why they were dressing like men, acting like men, but they didn't want to be men. But as I've learned more about our history, I've had this huge respect because they are sweet. Some of them are very, very tender, and not talk about them like they're separate from us, but, they're not as cold as they seem, but they've got to put up this front because of everything, you know, they've been through, everything we've been through. So I think there's a huge respect, and then with femme, I think every femme woman I've met has been extremely dominant because she knows who she is, she knows what she's doing, and I think that's powerful.
True that. Absolutely.
Do you think it's a permission to release a woman's sexual energy when, as opposed to a straight woman who might still be defined in terms of sexist notions? Do you think being a lesbian or identifying with as a lesbian helps break those stereotypes?
For sure. I think just hanging out with women and listening to women talk. I know lesbians are much more open with intimate things rather than straight women. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because we do it to each other, but I mean, we're so much more open because we're on the same wavelength. And then with, you know, straight women, sometimes it's like, oh, we're gonna, you know,
we're not gonna talk.
Knows.
We're not gonna talk about that giant pink gorilla in the corner.
Right, but. Right.
Kind of bring it back to racism within the gay community. How are we defining racism, I wonder?
I guess I would define racism as forming certain opinions and having certain prejudices and just thinking, I guess, forming certain negative views and opinions before you meet someone and just based on the color of their skin or even the shade of their skin.
So going back to a little bit about what you were saying, how do we differentiate, or do we, between preference mm-hmm. to making judgments about someone before you meet them and completely excluding them from the dating pool? And I it sounds like we're talking about racism within dating. Is that what the
right,
main topic is?
Right.
Well, I think it's impossible to meet someone and not form or not judge them when you first meet them. Like,
that is probably a very honest answer.
Yes.
I think few people would say that mm-hmm. or admit to that. But I think the majority of people do have preconceived notions about people when they meet them.
For sure.
As a human, that's how we are. But I think when you act on it.
Yeah.
I have to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is the Hatch segment on After Hours. Now back to y'all.
Yay, gay radio.
Okay, so back on to making judgments. As a psychology major, my opinion and my knowledge is that it is human nature to judge because our brains, our minds, we want to know what is going on, who we're meeting, what we're doing, how we have to treat them, how we want them to treat us. And so we put people into these little categories in the back of our head, not like we're meaning to harm them, but we've got to understand what's cool, what's not. And then later, I think racism is defined. If you do anything just because of the color of their skin, because I think that is so out of bounds, because, you know, I know we were talking earlier about, you know, about black people who've been brought up in a white community. So people will call them, like, you know, Oreos mm-hmm. because they're white on the inside, you know, but they're black. And then we've got, you know, white people who grew up in a black community or an Hispanic community, and then they get called, you know, posers, fakers, because they're doing this facade of being someone else when truly it's about their culture.
Mm. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. There are characteristics within cultures, and whenever we bring those notions or we think about those characteristics about a particular culture, where's the fine line between being culturally sensitive and being racist or prejudicial?
I'm not sure. I think, with race, it's such a sensitive, sensitive topic. And with stuff like that, you really sort of have to almost ignore it or sort of be really hush-hush about it. I think it just depends on the person and how they feel. Like with, you know, certain names, like some people prefer to be called black, some people prefer to be called African American. I think it just really depends on how the person feels and what makes them uncomfortable. And I think, you know, there are so many subcultures and subcultures within a culture that you just really can't define anything or anyone these days. You just really can't.
You just really got to take people for who they are and not at just face value, because
exactly.
there's no way I can tell who any of y'all are just by looking at y'all. And I know we were talking, you know, about, you know, racism, what's cool and what's not in the culture. I was reading an article about soft racism and about how people make jokes about racist things, and it's not considered racist because it's funny, but we're joking about things that, like, are totally absurd if we said them in a just a straight up manner. But, you know, I think that's a way to get around it. I think that's a way to ease an uncomfortable situation, and I think it's a way to show and to feel empowered by your discrimination, because other people are laughing at your racist jokes, no matter if it's soft racism or if it's hardcore. I mean, it is still racism.
Well, I don't, like, as a Jewish person, I tell Jewish jokes all the time. But, like, I think I feel more comfortable talking about it. Like, I think that that's why we have such, like, a fine line about everything. And, you know, I just think we should talk about race more openly. Like, it's such a taboo subject. And I feel like maybe the dating, like, maybe it would be easier if we just talked about race and were more comfortable with it like that. If that makes any sense.
I feel the opposite way. I really do. I mean, things get so heated when you talk about race. And there's so much history. And being black, there is so much discrimination. People just really don't realize until you really get out in the open how negatively and how low people see black people. And you being Jewish, I think we sort of have things, blacks and Jews. And I think that
okay, Cadillac.
Exactly. I think because of the history, let's not slavery and the Holocaust, it's a big thing. I think that if you made a Jewish joke to me, I wouldn't laugh. I wouldn't find it funny. I think if you made that joke to other Jews, then it would be cool. Because I know if people said certain things about black people and poverty and made it a joke, it probably would be funny. It probably would be true. But the fact that it's not being said by a black person, I would find that just incredibly uncomfortable. And so, I mean, you really just have to know your audience with that. But me, I am extremely sensitive about it.
Well, like, I'm not saying, like, I would tell a black joke like that. I never would, because I don't think negatively of African American people. I'm just saying, like, if we were to talk more openly about the differences in our culture, not jokes, like, yeah, the differences in our cultures, it would be, like, easier. That's,
but like you were saying, humor is, you know, an awesome doorway to conversation. And I think by making a joke, when it's coming from a person of that kind, it shows, you know, hey, we're joking about, but this isn't really real. Like, I'm a natural blonde, and I make blonde jokes all the time. And my purpose in that, other than from being funny, and because I try so hard, but is to show, you know, I'm making all these blonde jokes, but behind this, you know, blonde facade, I mean, I'm an extremely intelligent person. And I think, you know, just to equate to a smaller level, because I'm not Jewish, well, and I'm not black.
Do you think you felt, like, empowered by saying
no,
that?
No, but like, I think it's like, you know, there are all these stereotypes, and just like there are stereotypes about black people, about Jewish people, about blondes, about women, about men, I think when you do bring that into conversation, whether it's a joke or whether it's like straight up talk, I think it's a way to say, you know, hey, there's a stereotype and I'm not it. I'm a natural blonde, but I'm not stupid.
Absolutely.
Well, what about, say a white person is telling a joke to a detrimental joke or a negative joke or one in which an African American is on the not good side of the joke. Mm-hmm. Is that inappropriate?
Absolutely, 100%. Especially if it's a white person.
I agree.
Okay, let's switch it around. Let's say it's a African American telling a Jewish joke. Is that unacceptable?
Well, I personally wouldn't mind, because I'm Chris knows me. I'm very laid back about that kind of thing, and I'm whatever. But I think if it was any other Jewish person, it would not be acceptable.
It wouldn't.
I think it's uncalled for. I think my way, and this could be my own discrimination, this could be my own judgment, but my thing is you haven't been there, if you haven't been there, if you aren't it, don't joke about it, because I think you have no idea, and you don't
absolutely
truly understand it.
Well, you were saying earlier that you think that can be a conduit, jokes, or can be a conduit into understanding more, starting a conversation. So
right.
It sounds like, where do you differentiate that, then?
Because if, you know, if I'm talking to a Jewish person and then they make a blonde joke, I'm gonna be like, you know, that's not funny. And well, that's on a very different scale.
Right. I mean, let's be serious a little bit here.
What if I was a
here.
Blonde Jewish person?
telling a blonde joke and telling a joke about someone's race or religion, it's a little different.
It's definitely on a different scale. But, you know, I don't think, if they haven't been there, I don't think they should be talking about, like, I wouldn't make a Jewish joke. I'm not Jewish.
Well, I personally agree. I think it's inappropriate. What about, there is an area where it is socially acceptable to tell jokes about someone other than the group you identify with, and that's the straight world telling gay jokes.
I hate that. I don't want to hear any more, like, I'm not going to say it, but, like, I don't want to hear any more dinosaur gay jokes. Or like,
oh, my God.
Or, like, what's the difference between, like, the preacher and the gay guy, the way they say amen. Like, you know, I don't think it's okay for straight people to, say that, because they don't. They haven't been there. Like, they don't know. Yeah. They don't know what it's like to just be, like, kind of, I don't know, gay.
I think that's an awesome example.
Exactly.
Straight people making gay jokes. Because, like, I'm like, you know, it's not that you don't understand gay people. It's not that you aren't cool with it. But if you haven't been there, if you don't label yourself like that, you know, who are you to tell a joke? Because that's not cool.
Simply, you're just not gay, so shut up. You can't do it. It's just how it is, and that's how it is with race jokes. You can't identify with us. You do not know our history. You know our history, but you can't understand it. And well, it's just...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's just really how it is. She explained it perfectly. He explained it perfectly. That's how it is. You don't understand it, so you can't say it.
Well, okay. I feel... Okay, well, when I was... like when school was in session and everything, I probably heard more gay jokes than I did jokes about black people, because, like, I think that there is that stigma, and no one wants to be racist, but it's okay to be homophobic.
It's totally like that. Publicly, socially, and within our society, it's totally okay to think being gay is wrong because of how that's an internal thing, and because, you know, you can't tell on everyone. But, you know, with race, I mean, we have so much history behind that. We have, I mean, I think as a society, we have realized, okay, we cannot kill people because of their religion, and we cannot enslave people because of their color. But with gays, it's like, you know, you got people asking, hey, well, isn't that a choice? You know, and so I think it's almost politically correct sometimes to be making a gay joke and not a racist joke.
Well, like, okay, I feel like in school, if a kid were to say the N-word, he would be punished. But,
and rightfully so.
Well, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the word, like, can I say faggot?
Faggot, yeah.
The word faggot and dyke is equivalent to the N-word sometimes.
Wait, like, how do you feel about that?
I feel that within the community, it's okay. Just like, it really shouldn't be, but like with black people, we call each other the N-word all the time. And I think that's because to take the hurt out of it, before it meant something so negative and so hurtful, and now it's something totally different. And I don't agree with it, but I understand why black people call each other the N-word. Now, personally, I have this gay guy friend. He sees me, he yells, hey, dyke, and I yell, hey, faggot. And it's okay because we're both gay. But anyone else, that is not okay.
Okay, that's a really good question. Like, I totally want to, like, piggyback off that, because I remember when I used to get discriminated at my job because I identified as gay and people call me dyke, and my closing statement to everyone, and I want to know how you feel about this, and if you think that was proper of me to say, I used to say, you know, a lesbian isn't a dyke and a black person isn't an N-word. You know, that's not right. And so what do you think about a gay person saying that as a white gay person?
I don't know what it's like to be a white gay person, but I think that, I understand. I agree with you. I don't think that it all depends on how the person feels. You don't want to be called dyke, and that's just how it is, and people should respect that. And I think that this is simply how I feel. I mean, it really just depends on the person and the culture, and it all depends on how you define dyke. If they mean dyke as you being masculine, then it's still a derogatory term. Although you're masculine, they shouldn't have to call you dyke. I mean, you're still Chris. Now, as far as them calling you dyke because you're a lesbian, or because you're gay, sorry, then that's a whole different thing. That is extremely homophobic, and that is a big no-no. You should have punched them in the mouth. That's me. That's what
I would never answer being called a dyke with violence. Because, like, I've been called a dyke, and I just feel like if I answered that with violence, I would be worse than them. Like, I would be disgusted with myself. As much as I would want to hit them in the face, and I would love to hit them in the face.
I think she probably meant figuratively hit them in the face.
I meant it literally. If someone that is not black calls me the N-word, I will kick their butt. If someone that is not gay calls me dyke, lesbian, lesbo, whatever, I will hit them in the face. That's just simply how I...
You know her, so you know
I knew she meant it literally.
Hell yeah, I meant it literally.
I stand corrected.
I take that shit seriously and defensively. What was I? Oh, yeah. Okay, so back to, like, if a, rightfully so, if a kid in high school said the N-word, and then I would hope that he would be punished, but I think, like, my little brother is in, like, 7th and 8th grade, and he is a disgusting little pig. He says, he says dyke and, like, faggot all the time, as disgusting as it is, and he called a girl a dyke, and he did not get one day of detention sack or whatever. The girl called him a fat pig, which he is, and she got like 3 days in sack.
Oh, that is.
That's just wrong play, Don.
But that's the hoodlums.
That's
for you.
Yeah, for real. I feel you.
I think that children in school aren't punished, or people in general aren't really punished for showing homophobia, unless it's, you know, physical, like abusing someone for that, because people, society, the powers that be, that are white, rich, and straight, they see gay as a choice. I was born black. I cannot choose.
They see, well, to correct that, they see gay as the wrong choice, not a choice of whether you like Coke or Diet Coke. They see it as a wrong choice.
No. They see choosing to be out, living the gay lifestyle, as a choice. Therefore, it's not a big thing. You can always just go back to calling yourself straight. Whereas, you know, you can't choose your race, or, you know, you can't choose, you know, your physical features and all that. So that's why it's not considered a big, huge thing. Like, the movie, Monster. The, what's it called? Selby, that the girl's girlfriend or whatever. She, oh my god, you have to see that. She tells her aunt that she's going to go live with her girlfriend. And she says, you know, I see you choosing this gay life, and I just want so much better for you. You know, it's not like being born an N-word. And that's just really how the world sees it.
Well, my mom sees it as a choice. She told me today, she was like, I'm not proud of you, and I'm not proud of the choices that you've made. And it's like, why would I, you know, I chose this, and it's not, it wouldn't, like, you know, like, it just seems strange to me that people would choose to be so different. So, like, I mean, I own it, I work it, you know, but...
Because it's hard to be different.
Yeah, it's very difficult to be, like, different and be, like, the only gay girl on your lacrosse team. And, like, you know, the
lacrosse.
Only...
Like, it's pretty gay.
You'd think it would be full of lesbians, don't you? And
really?
No.
I would
well,
think that.
10 years from now, you'll find out that more of them are.
Well, no, okay. Well, I know, like, you know... Some of the moms were like lesbians, but that's not the point. But like, but you know, it's kind of just weird being with all these like normal straight girls that you go to school with, and then you're just gay, and they talk about boys, and you know, it's just uncomfortable sometimes.
Right, and that's a you know, a really interesting topic, you know, is being gay choice. But back to racism in the gay community, what can we do as individuals? As just people just talking about it, of all different backgrounds, you know, black, Jewish, whatever, blonde. I mean, I'm playing, but
Anglo.
You know, what can we do? I mean, we obviously can't be like, you know, we can't go up to people and be like, oh, hey, why are you dating the Asian person? I mean, we can't do that. But I mean, like, what do we do to help?
Can I say, being black, when my black friends see me with my white girlfriend, they're like, why are you with that white girlfriend? You know?
Well, how do you see that? Well, on one side, you could say you're not racist, that you're seeing people as individuals. Or the flip side, and it's been said here, they could say it's a fetish. She has a fetish for a white girl.
Honestly, I gotta say, I find the white chicks hot, but it's not a fetish.
Okay, it's not a fetish when it's you, but it's a fetish when it's other people. And the reason I'm saying that is because I don't believe that. This is just for argument and discussion. But it's easy to point the finger at other people and
absolutely.
Say, that's them, not me.
But I'm gonna tell you why it's not a fetish. I have dated people of almost every race, and I feel more comfortable with a white girl. That's not to say I would never go back to dating black girls, but I don't date I wouldn't date a white girl just because she's white. You know, I have to get to know her first. It's like, do we have the same likes, dislikes, da-da-da. And if we don't, then...
But when you first see her, like, okay, when we meet somebody, like, when we're, like, at Hollywood just sitting around and someone walks through the door, you look at them and you go, okay, I would, like, go out and... dance with that person, you know, because they're attractive, and that's what we were talking about earlier about, like, initial judgments. And so when you see, like, a white girl, you notice that she's white, and you like the white girls, right?
No, I find her physically attractive,
and, like, but when she walks through the door, and you see that she's white, and she's what you like, and find physically attractive, that's a preconceived...
That totally is. That's a preconceived notion, and that's not bad, because I know when I see a black lesbian, I automatically think, she's not going to like me, you know, because I'm white, you know, what can I offer, you know, a sister, you know, like, I can't do any of that, you know, because that's my notion, but see, talking to you, that, you know, widens my horizons, so that's why I asked the question, you know, how can we spread this word?
Honestly, I think this is how it's always been, and I really don't think it's going to be changed. I really don't, because it's a human nature thing.
Well, I think we're getting to the finer points of what is racism and what is, you just have preconceived notions about
exactly.
A particular race.
Back to me. I'm defending my love of the white girls. Now, I love women, period. I don't care what
for
race,
real.
Tall,
yeah,
short,
for real.
Young, tall, short, young, old, I do not care. But I connect more, a little bit, with the white girls. Now, when I see a white girl and I think she's cute, I'm not going to, you know, start calling in the U-Hauls just because she's white and cute.
Oh, I thought it was because you're a lesbian. That you would call the U-Haul.
See, that was a gay joke.
I think it's you. No. See, that's the thing.
But see, I'm gay, so I can do that, right?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
He can, because he's gay.
But I'm not a lesbian.
But you're not a lesbian.
But,
some lesbians might find that.
Get out. You haven't been there. What do you know about being a lesbian?
Exactly. You don't even have a second date.
Yeah, for real.
For real. I just got it back. So gay men do have second dates. This does happen.
Really?
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Breaking down the...
Right. But, you know, back to the topic.
But that's what it is, the racism or discrimination. You know, I'm thinking, okay, I meet this nice black girl, but I'm not going to want to think about a future with her just because she's black. That's the discrimination. I'm not going to just picture a white picket fence with a white girl just because she's cute and we have a few likes.
Let me clarify. It sounds like physically you're attracted to white women.
I'm attracted to all women.
As you are all women. But it sounds like the connection you have with white women may be more cultural then.
Totally, yes, that's what we're talking about,
exactly.
Culture.
Exactly, culture.
You feel like you have more in common.
Nature versus nurture.
That's what he was talking about earlier.
Yeah. No, because that's totally true, because, like, you were talking earlier about how you do connect with white women just because, like, for example, your music interests. I mean, you do like hip-hop and stuff, but more of your interests are more of where, you know, more white people seem
Chick
to be.
Like music.
Melissa Edwards.
Right, with
my
the
wife.
Edwards, with the Indigo Girls. And, I mean, that differs with everyone, whether it's your race, whether it's your category, butch or femme. And, like, you know, I think in the way that you describe your way that you view white girls is probably, like, the way I view, like, femme women. It's not that I would never date anyone butch, but I like femme because I connect with them, because it's something like, you know, I like you, you know, you are a woman to me, and not to say that butch women are women. That's definitely not what I mean, but, you know, that's my preference. And I've dated butch and I've dated femme.
I think we're going, like, in circles.
We totally are.
No, but see, I don't think we are.
I think we're piggybacking.
I think we're this has so many different layers that
it
we're
really
touching
does.
On different layers, then we're coming back to the main theme.
Okay, so what do we do?
Good thing to do.
Okay, well, I don't know. What do you...
My thing is, this whole focus has been on dating.
Right.
And I don't mean racism in the gay community just in dating. I mean as just period. When I go to Hatch, the majority of the people there are white.
I disagree.
You know, I also disagree. I've been with Hatch for a year, and most of the people I've seen, like, for real, like, most people are Hispanic. Mm-hmm. That's actually been the huge raise. If you look at the charts, if you look at Hot Charts, to my knowledge,
I think that there's a
there's something about, you know, Hispanics, like, there's just a very good... Maybe it's Houston, maybe it's Texas.
Actually, it's not. In Dallas, the higher percentage, race-wise, is Hispanics in the gay youth group.
Well, I don't go regularly, but honestly, most of the times I've been there, it's majority it's white and it's gay male.
You'd be surprised. I think that there's more transgendered people now.
At Hatch?
Yes. I do.
I don't know.
I've seen a few.
I do. Yeah, I do.
But
sometimes you really can't tell.
I don't notice many African Americans at
home. Exactly.
No,
I don't
honest.
Either. I'll give
That's
you that.
Exactly. No, like, you know, at the scholarship thing, you, to my memory, you were
the only African American. Yeah. Which, thank you, people like Hatch people. I love y'all. Thank you so much.
Real.
I really appreciate that scholarship.
How much did you get?
I had $7,000. It was $6,000.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's big.
That's awesome.
I have something. Awesome. Okay. So we were talking earlier about straight people and their prejudice against us. And, like, and that is apparent. Like, I have a friend, like, who, when people found out she was gay in the locker room, like, they wouldn't change near her and stuff. But, like, what do we do? I feel like sometimes we are very prejudiced against straight people.
Today at the line to go to a club tonight, I'm standing in line. I'm like, doo-doo-doo, you know, waiting to go in. And some guy in front of me, we see a straight couple. And I'm like, oh, that's cute. Because, like, I'm seeing love. And the first thing I see is love. And I'm like, ooh, they're in love. And then some gay guy in front of me goes, oh, look at those.
The breeders.
Yeah, he said, hey, look at those breeders. And I looked at him.
Word.
And, I he is a very femme gay guy. And here I am. And I'm just like, that's not nice. That's not nice. I mean, who are we to say, you know, oh, look at those. I mean, it's funny. Because, like, we're like, ooh, we're gay, we can make fun of everyone else.
That's
not cool, you know?
Well, I think when they step into our hood, like, I think we try to be, like, revengeful.
I don't think so. I think if we can be happy, I think our message, but this is such a personal thing, I think our message should be, if we have found it so deep in our souls to acknowledge the fact that we can love same-sex people, then we should accept everyone, because it's all about love. But that's, you know, that's what I think.
Well, I agree with you, and I like, and you know, it's a good club, you know, whatever, like, I understand why they're there. It's a, but like, I just feel
what kind of straight people go to gay clubs.
I know, it's okay, seriously, straight clubs are so weird. Have you ever been to one? It's like a meat market.
Really? Well, the thing about gay clubs is I was there was once this book that a friend was telling me about, and it was talking about Jesus. And if Jesus was here in the 21st century and he was going to go out clubbing, where would Jesus go? and my friend was telling me that this book said Jesus would go to a gay club. And here's why.
Oh, God, I got to hear
this. Because in a gay club, you can be a man walking in who is so buff, who's so built, who's like a butch boy, and you know he can fix every car in the world. And then if someone walks in a tutu, that's okay too. And Jesus would not only be at that club, but would be bartending at the club because of the open acceptance at the core. I mean, then we all had like this attitude, you know, gay clubs have attitudes sometimes because it's all about, you know, girl, mm-hmm. but, you know, down at the core, you can be who you want. You can walk in drag. You can walk in a tutu. You can be buff. You can be butch. You can be a girl, or you can be a boy, or you can be in between. So this, you know, a friend of mine was talking about the book that Jesus would be there because of acceptance.
That's bizarre.
Would Jesus go to a straight club where it's all like bumping and grinding and get off my chick or stay away from my man?
Like, bikini beats, jello shots, ladies spray, rupees on the house.
Oh my God.
Would Jesus be there?
Jesus would not be there.
Well, honestly, I've been to straight clubs, and people are always fighting, and it's just so much negativity. And with gay people, well, yeah, we have our little tiffs too, but we're mostly more happy.
But
and
we're very happy-go-lucky, like, let's all dance. If you go to a straight club, like, the girls are in the middle of the dance floor, we just want to dance.
Yeah.
Get away. And the guys are like, dude, I gotta get in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's bizarre. And I think when they come to, I think it's great that, like, there's people that just want to go enjoy a club.
I think that's why straight people like going to gay clubs.
And I want to go back to the whole prejudice against straight people. I've been bursting. Okay. I think that some gay people do not like straight people hanging out in Montrose, and they're prejudiced towards straight people because they have been oppressed by straight people. I know in my neighborhood it's only blacks and Hispanics, and if we see some white people, it's going to be like, okay, what are they doing here? They're going to assume that they're, you know, poor, low rent. I'm not... the TT word, I'm not going to go there, but...
trailer trash?
Yes.
I'll go
you know,
there.
I live... The complex I live in is vast majority minority or non-Anglo-white.
Mm-hmm.
So ditto.
I'm probably... Oh, gosh. Maybe one of five within, like, 200 people. And I'm the only white person there. And, you know... I say that because, you know, I've lived... One of the things I like about me is I think I can mix with just about any group mm-hmm. or just about any socioeconomic, whatever.
Because you're
and
gay.
I'm like, you know what? You may be right.
I know I'm right.
Because I think it's the acceptance,
exactly.
You know?
But I want to say...
What would Jesus do?
I think... Well,
Jesus would be gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he had long hair and walked around in a long dress, so, you know.
Jesus was in drag.
Jesus was in drag. But I think, and as an African-American, African-Americans, we make fun of white people all the time. I tried, honestly,
I'm going to shed a tear.
It's ridiculous.
We think it's funny, but you know what? Is it right? No, because if we had a bunch of white people talking trash about us, oh, we would have a fit. So I try not to go there with white people because I don't think it's right.
Well, I think, like, back to what you said, back to what you said about, you know, us being prejudiced against straight people. I think it's very hard for us to hear things. Like, I get very angry when I hear, like, that's so gay.
Oh, I think that is so stupid.
Why are you wearing that shirt? That's so gay.
I hate that phrase. I hate it. I want to stab it.
When people at work that I work with say that, I will call them on the spot. I say, you know, what do you mean? Are you saying that that's a good thing? Or are you equating that with being bad? Yeah, I'm just wondering. Would you clarify that
for me? Or equating
it with
being homosexual.
Right. You know, I'm beginning to where I stop that as soon as I hear it,
mm-hmm.
and I let people know that, hey, that's not cool.
That is exactly how I am with people that are not black saying the N-word.
I think that's right.
Like, seriously, I hang out with all different kinds of people, and I used to live in a trailer. I am not ashamed of it. I am from the trailers. I will kick your butt. And I hung out
There's a difference between a trailer and a mobile home.
It was a trailer. I lived in a trailer house, and I lived in the trailer. It's supposed to be moved, but it's just, it's just there. Okay, and I hang out with white people, and they walk around, and they call each other the N-word. I'm like, y'all are not black. That is not cool. And then you have some white people, hey, Kim and Mindy, that are up in Ohio, and they go around calling each other the C-word. And I'm like,
Wait, what is C-word?
C-R-A-C-K-E-R.
Mm. Oh, okay.
You know, you put some peanut butter on it. And I don't know, where is this coming from? And I guess it's sort of some revolution, taking the negative words and turning them into something else. But I think it's just kooky.
Well, what about the fact that it's popularized in music? Music has become a cross-cultural, cross-race phenomenon. And certain music, hip-hop, hardcore rap,
yeah.
They use those words...
A lot.
Well,
I think that's a tricky thing because obviously you can't censor that, and that's their right of expression.
Exactly.
To say whatever they want. But I think, like, some artists should take it upon themselves to be more responsible with the way, you know what I'm saying?
Because it catches on. Because song lyrics catch on, and all of a sudden we've got white people walking around singing black lyrics. But on the topic of music, that's all I've always been really passionate about that. I once researched racism and how music affects it and how racism affects music. And Oprah actually has some strong opinions about rap.
Oh, yeah.
Oprah does not like rap because she loathes how it says the N-word, how it speaks disrespectfully of women, of the black culture. And so, and Oprah's not the only, oh, I haven't met Oprah, but Oprah's not the only person that
I have. I'm kidding.
Oh, I was about to freak out. No, but Oprah's not the only person that I've heard that doesn't like that. I was really close to a really good friend of mine, and she was black, and she hated rap, unless it was, like, old school,
yep.
Or unless it was, like really, like, just, like, hip-hop, like, you know, something fun. But if it got into, you know, you know, ghetto and street talk and all that, it wasn't cool with her anymore because she was like, I'm not like them. And,
you know, I wonder, is it because perhaps the music originally was for a group of people? Like, you had mentioned, it's okay if an African-American uses the N-word to another African-American.
Yes.
That's okay. And you could say that perhaps the music was for an African-American group.
Yes.
But music doesn't stay within a group. It becomes available for everyone. So you may have originally had a piece of music intended for certain people and for certain people.
Yes.
But because everyone listens to it and it now becomes part of the mainstream, then does that make these words more acceptable?
No. You can go around singing whatever new 50 Cent song you want, but I do not want to hear that N-word come out of your mouth.
Okay, but, you know, to kind of piggyback off what you said, I'm having so much fun. No, but if it is in the music, and if it's our choice to spread music, if it's our choice to listen to it, if it's our choice to put
rap. If it's their choice as an artist to put it out there.
Okay.
Like, is that what you're trying to get?
No, if it's like, if we put, you know, hip-hop or black culture-inspired music on MTV, can we be angry at white people who sing these lyrics every single word? Can we be angry? And that's, I mean, not that I agree with this, but I'm just going to throw an opposing question, because can we be angry because we did it? We voted for it on TRL. We wanted it to be on the top 10 hits. So can we be angry when we see a little white boy walking down the street singing the new 50 Cent song and saying, you know, just singing it how it is?
Well, is there a difference between singing a song with the lyric in it and saying it to another person?
I think so.
I think so.
I agree.
I
think it's like,
I think that's with cursing.
I think if it's meant, I don't know. I kind of avoid it just because, you know, it's not my place to say that word at all. And I try to be as respectful, because I would want you to be respectful of, you know, me being Jewish and all that. But I feel like it's, sometimes, just people really don't mean it. Like, you know, like it was like a loaded word. So
I know,
it was,
I understand
song,
what you mean. But okay, let's say, what if some man-hating lesbian group put out, Jesus, I hate those breeders, la 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 la, and you got some lesbian kids, you know, walking down the street, you know, singing the song that mommy put on the tape player, you know, God, I hate those breeders, and you hear, some straight person hears it, they're going to be offended.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, that's not cool. I mean, that's with, you know, some gay music. I mean, gay music is awesome.
It is awesome.
But there are some gay artists who put out songs that to me are totally, like, ludicrous, because they say things like, you know, oh, you stupid faggot, and it's like, you know, you got the techno in the back, and that becomes okay. And it's like, what message are we trying to spread?
I don't think it's okay.
Well, but if it's not okay for a gay artist to use the word faggot in their song, why is it okay for an African-American artist?
I don't think that's okay either, but the fact is, they can say it.
First Amendment.
Freedom. Exactly.
Oh, I'm always about First Amendment.
Exactly.
First Amendment comes first.
Exactly.
That's right. But
I mean, they have the right. If they want to put that out, they can.
But it's also their responsibility.
Exactly. I don't think it's cool, but
I don't think people watch it. And I think, and to go back to the beginning of our topic with racism and the gay community, I mean, tonight, just sitting in the cafe, I mean, there must have been at least 10 racist jokes. And it's not like it's not to say that there weren't 10 religious jokes or 10 gender jokes or, you know, 10 anything else. But because, I mean, sometimes when people just get around and they just start smoking and talking, I mean, just they start talking trash.
They let loose.
Yeah, and they just, they think it's okay to talk about everything. And
yeah.
Because it's all like, ooh, girl, you know.
I mean, you're among friends, it's safe.
Yeah, you feel safe, so you can say whatever tells on your mind without feeling judged.
But what if you aren't safe? You know, what if they make a joke about being transgender? That's going to hurt. What if they make a joke about being black? That's going to hurt. You know, I don't think that's okay, because you never know. With the First Amendment, you can say whatever you want, but
you
never know.
But you have to be able to take the consequences.
Exactly. You never know who's listening. You never know.
Well, and you don't know how other people are going to view you because of that.
Right.
I think that if you say a racist joke, I'm sorry, I'm automatically going to think differently of that person to some degree.
maybe not to the point where I'm never going to talk to him again, we're never going to be friends, but at some point I'm going to think, gosh, is that, how much do they really feel that way?
Exactly.
Because the psychology of humor is that truth comes through humor, and what people joke about is what's really on their mind. Not to say that every single joke...
I told a joke about a string earlier. What
does
that mean?
No, but not to say that every single joke I've ever said is, like, the truth. But at some point in time, that thought is going through your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it went through your head, and went through your head enough times for you to say it out loud. So what does it say about someone when they make a racist joke?
Of course it goes through your head. We, to a certain degree, I think we still very much live in a racist society.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't go through your head, then you're blind to
the world.
The world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to recognize that we do still live in a racist society, and that our within our gay society there's undertones of racism.
Yes.
Because in acknowledging that, I think you try to make steps to try to change it in as much as you can. Like the little thing that I do in my office when someone says that's so gay, and I say, you know what? What do you mean by that? Because, you know,
that coffee table, it cannot be gay.
Right. I think most people in my office know that I'm gay. I'm very open about it. And that's not for everyone. So when you're sitting around with your friends and someone says a racist or has a racist undertones, what do you do? Do you stop and say, gosh, that was kind of insensitive?
I do.
Do you really feel that way?
I do. I say that's not cool.
I say that's stupid.
What if it's a funny joke?
Yeah, what if it's funny?
It's funny, but it's stupid.
What if it's funny? No, I mean, some stuff is just funny, and it's all about delivery, too.
Yeah.
Because I know people who are not funny, but the way they say it just makes me laugh every time. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, now that we're talking about, like, this, it seems like, you know, the whole world is racist, the whole world is all this. Is there hope for not only the gay community to, you know, overcome racism and racist thoughts? Is there a hope for the world?
No.
No.
Nope.
No, there's not.
Hell no.
I want to cry now, because if there's no hope, I mean, you know, I'm going deep in right now.
I want there to be hope. I do. I just don't
there's
think
gotta
there
be. Hope
anything.
Died.
Okay.
No. We buried it, put it in a cute little casket, and put it 36 feet under.
As a black person, like, you don't have any hope.
No. Not even for my black community.
Okay.
As far as the racism goes.
I feel like there's some people that there's hope for, but there's just some people that there's not hope
for. We're talking about all of mankind, the majority.
Like, I'm just, well, there are
but we've
some
come
people,
so far.
Like, you know, the...
Oh, well, that's
the Bible-thumping, cousin-humping, monster
I'm from
truck
East Texas.
Enthusiast.
I know people like that. Those are my family members.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, they're never going to get it.
But we also come so far. Like, I mean, we did abolish slavery. You know?
Look at how
not 200 years ago. It was so recent. It's, like, so fresh and our wounds of our society. And then,
it
like,
is amazingly recent
yeah,
when you think about
and
it.
And there's still like, slavery in some remote parts of the world.
I was thinking about this the other day. Segregation, different water fountains, that was only, like, 40 years ago.
I know. Yeah. And, okay, so we think about that. And it was less than, like, 50 years ago, we allowed women to vote. Now, that's really depressing if you look at the bad side, but look at that.
Oh, a little more than...
Okay. Do I look like a history major?
It's been a little longer than that.
I'm not going to tell you what happened, but I'll tell you why. But no, I mean, look at how far we've come in such a short amount of time,
well,
and that was recent. So is there hope? Can we all, like, live as equal brothers and sisters?
Just 10 years ago, gay sex was illegal. In a lot of
states. In some parts of the world,
yeah.
It is still illegal.
Yeah, it is. Still in Texas, I think.
No, the Supreme Court.
Texas.
Yeah, you should know.
I had a book, but it was like from 1984. Okay? I'm misinformed by a little bit.
That.
Like, I think that, okay, I think there is like a little bit of hope, but I'm not expecting, you know,
miracles.
It would take a long time. Like, okay, 40 years ago, we would not have used the same restroom. I would have listened to black rock and roll music, and I would be like, I like your music, but please don't use that bathroom. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that would have been really, like, but now think of it today. That's 40 years.
No,
that's such a huge
change.
Think
about that. You know, 4 years ago, you two ladies couldn't use the same restroom. But think about now, as y'all both identify as lesbian, now y'all can have an interracial... Don't even get it out.
Okay. It's so taboo.
Okay, but you can have an interracial homosexual relationship. That's golden. That's progress. That is hope.
That is progress. That
you
is
two can hope. Date. That's hope.
Well, they that could is date hope. Before. No, they well, would just get their ass. Well, I'm so sorry.
Well, they couldn't. Well, you, if, not too long ago, in several states, you're fine. In several states, interracial, you mentioned it, interracial couples could not get married.
Exactly.
It was illegal.
Really?
And, yes.
Which is why I was born out of wedlock, because my parents are mixed.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow. So, yeah, you couldn't, it was illegal in certain states for interracial couples to marry. And they were certainly in danger if they dated.
Yeah,
I don't think so. There's a lot of
hope. Truly, after what my statement that y'all could date, you still don't think there's hope?
I don't, because my generation, I think it's the worst. I mean, don't get me wrong, y'all two are cool and everything, but as far as, we do not care about the issue.
Okay, see, I disagree.
I think this generation
not
is more
of
accepting.
Us.
I think this generation is more accepting of gay and lesbian people and youth than any other.
I agree. I think
any
that,
other.
I think that there's some kinks that need to be worked out.
And it can only get better.
But compared to, like, your parents' generation,
you
that's
so
a lot of.
You're freakishly optimistic.
She
because that's what I see. Yeah. Because it's, you know, we have come so far, and if we did that less than 40 years ago, imagine what we'll do in the next 40 years.
What?
You know,
oh,
that's so hopeful. Like, there's hope. I mean, to me, it's just astounding. I mean, I guess it's the first time I've had this thought that, you know, 40 years ago, y'all couldn't even use the same bathroom. But now, y'all can date, y'all can be in public and not get shot. Like, to me, that is incredible. I'm so excited.
If we went out to East Texas, would get shot.
But that's okay. But see, here in the city. You know,
in the city.
And but see, imagine what East Texas will be like in the next 40 years. Like, there's so much hope. And this generation
is backwoods.
But still, I'm from East Texas. And why are you laughing at that?
You're from East. Okay, well, look at me, and I'm from East Texas.
Judgment.
I was born and grew up a large portion of my life in East Texas. And it's true that they're a little bit sometimes behind the curve.
Backwoods.
But I don't think that's true of everyone. I mean,
I've met some intelligent people that have come out from the booth.
Well, of course you have. That's a
like us.
What kind of, I know. What kind of
I don't
that?
Know you that well. Okay.
Well,
I'm just saying. Not
me. I think even in East Texas, I don't think it's as bad as everyone's hick and, you know, backwaters and prejudice. And I think that they're good people, and there's a lot of people in East Texas and rural communities that are very progressive.
Yeah. As far as getting their education, yes, but as far as different cultures.
I think you can go to the churches, and you know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about. There are the most segregated.
Absolutely.
Of society,
absolutely.
And especially when you get into your own.
Absolutely. Because it's like, you know, we can all go to church and talk and da-da-da-da-da, but
we can pee in the same room, we just can't worship in the same room.
Exactly. When I think it's crazy, because most people in East Texas are Baptist.
Yes.
They are Baptist, or they're, you know, some form of Protestant, or what's the one where women can only wear skirts? Pentecostal.
Pentecostal.
Is that the one where they let their hair grow down?
I think
yeah.
Pentecostal. As many issues as I have with the Pentecostal group, and I have many, I think one of the things that they're actually pretty good with is I think they're more racially accepting than a lot of the other ones,
so
especially your strict Baptist and your, you know, your
Bible thumping, holy rolling,
right.
Speaking in
monster
tongues.
Monster truck enthusiast.
But I don't understand why religious people would be so condescending sometimes, because, like, again, what would Jesus do? If we're going to talk about Jesus, I mean, I think if you're going to be a religious person, like, I mean, in my mind, it's like, shouldn't you be a good person?
Okay, well, all the images of Jesus look more like you. Blonde and gorgeous with the muscly and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's right. That's me, sweetie.
But we're deluding thousands of people.
Okay, I think that people sometimes hide behind their religion because they're scared of different things.
Absolutely. I think some people are, I think a lot of racist people are, like,
they're just
down to the core. I honestly think a lot of people are really scared of black people.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
They're going to kick your ass.
You said the A-word.
No, but for real, like, I think a lot of discrimination comes from fear.
Oh, yeah, I do, too. Well, and as we're wrapping up, because we're getting to the end of our segment, I think we were looking at defining racism. And if I'm not mistaken, I remember some of those, you know, public service announcements they used to do. Mm-hmm. And racism, if I don't know, this may not have been one, but for some reason, racism equals hurt. Or I think that's one of the things that distinguishes when you're racist or you're having racist thoughts, is when it's to the detriment and to the hurtfulness of somebody just for the race or whatever they are. And when you look at someone and you say, oh, I'll never date them just because they're black or because they're Hispanic or because they're butch or because they're femme,
mm-hmm.
I think it takes away from the depth of who a person is, and you stop looking at that and you only see a characteristic.
That's beautiful, sweetie.
I'm tearing.
Yeah. No, that was really wrapped up really well.
That was good. That's good.
Oh, sweet. iPod. All right. Awesome.
So yay. I think we're ready for shout outs, maybe, or some closing statements.
I just want to say hi to my good friend Kayla Jane. She's my rock, and I love her. So that's all I had to say. Oh. And let's just open up our boundaries and expand our horizon.
And there's hope. There's hope.
There
is a little bit of hope.
See,
no,
there's no hope.
I say that there's a little bit of hope for some people.
I'm going to work on you.
Okay. I think there is no hope, and I want to give a shout out to my grandma. Hi. And I want to say hi to my friend Kiki. I know you're out partying with that chick. I forgot her name. But you need to take your butt home because it's dangerous out there. And I want to say hi to everybody at U of H. Hey! And I want to say hi to everybody at Pizza Hut. Hi, Christine and Cynthia. And hi, Taurus. And okay, I think I'm done.
Make a list
in my head.
What okay. About you, Chris? Before we go, Hatch contact information, how to get in touch with us.
No, that's not it.
Yes.
713. I don't know the rest.
Okay.
No. I have it. No, I've got it.
None of you have the title ambassador, do you?
No. I'm sorry. The actual number for Hatch, not Chris's number.
Yeah, the Hatch number.
Yeah, y'all are my number.
Number out on the radio. No,
I'm pimping number. Chris out, yo.
I actually don't. Well, we're on the internet.
Okay. Yeah, no, always, no, Google Hatch. That's what I do. Hatch, honestly, that's how I even found Hatch. I Googled gay teen group.
Can we say there's a MySpace group?
Yeah.
There's a Hatch MySpace group as well. I don't know what the URL is, but, like, you should check that out. And I think that has some information on it.
And remember, we rock. I've downloaded the co-president steering committee, and I have no idea.
Well, I hope that somebody's listening to this.
Well, the gay and lesbian switchboard number hotline for those of you who may have issues.
Should I do it?
Do it.
Okay. The GLBT hotline is 713-529-3211.
All right.
And should we give out the Trevor Project number?
I don't even know what that is.
Give me your gay card. No, give out the number for the Trevor thing.
Okay, the Trevor Project is 866-488-7386. And would you like to tell them what the Trevor Project is?
Oh, we gotta wrap it up. Sorry, guys.
For more information on Hatch, you can go to hatchyouth.org turn off their mics because they're getting noisy in there. For more information there, you can also call 713-529-3590. Hold on, let me put on the music I was going to have for this next group coming up.
Oh, yeah, we've got special music for this next group coming in. Special music.
So get ready. Temptress, take us away with Crack the Whip.
Thank you.
With Crack the Whip.
Perfect like music. Like perfect it. Music for Naughty Michelle.
Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome back. It's been too long since you've been here.
Been busy.
February was the last time we were here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. February.
Wow.
Before the event. Yeah. We've been all over Texas.
We've done all kinds of stuff. At that event, we raised $750 for Legacy.
Hey, and now you're up to another one.
We're up to doing another one, yeah.
Before we talk about that, what have you been doing?
Well, we went to the Temple of Flesh event at Easter,
mm-hmm.
and after performing in March at Darewear's event. And then we went to Dallas for a little bit and been traveling back and forth mm-hmm. to Austin. We've been performing a lot with the Temple of Flesh people.
Okay, when you say performing, what do you mean?
Well, at the Temple
getting
of Flesh.
Getting on stage and spanking butt.
Doing all kinds of good stuff.
Uh-huh.
In San Antonio, they had us man the dungeon equipment. And so for the audience participation, we were there to help guide them and mm-hmm. things like that, which is always a lot of fun because you get to play with a bunch of strangers.
Ooh.
You would have loved it. There were these three boys, and they were actually wearing the Carhartt jacket. They were from down where, like, Beeville or something, beyond Beeville. And then
Whitney is here, too, by the way, and the handsome Glenn.
Their comment was, "We ain't never seen nothing like this before." It was wonderful. It was wonderful to see.
I thought we had four. I'm sorry.
New people.
We just have four mics in here. And I see we only have three.
You guys have to share.
I don't mind.
Maybe your mouth's really close to the noise. We'll watch.
A moment of seduction.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so where were you again? I kind of lost my train of thought there.
I didn't lose mine.
Not
you
yet.
You got a one-track mind.
Okay. We've just been going all over. It's San Antonio, Dallas. Doing more in Austin.
Yeah.
These events, I was asked tonight, how can you do this? The only way we can do it is with our friends. We're having a blast.
Good.
And, you know, we do it for good causes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Legacy.
Yeah, 94 cents out of every dollar mm-hmm. goes to clients.
At Legacy?
And client
oh, yeah.
services.
Mm-hmm.
94 cents out of every dollar. That's
pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when you consider a lot of groups do a portion of the proceeds mm-hmm. will
Yeah, we all know that sometimes you get a little itty-bitty portion.
Yeah.
And it goes to administrative and this guy's boat or whatnot.
Overhead.
94 cents. That's amazing. I don't know how they do it.
Who work at Legacy, they're not making a whole lot of money.
They can't. There's no way.
They're in it for the love of what they do.
It's a devotion. Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the pansexual community needs to learn how to support causes.
Sure.
It's not just, I believe in unity and diversity. And we just, in fact, talked to one of our leather sisters today. She was having a problem with her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She went down to Legacy and said, look, I'm really not sure about this. I'm getting some strange test results. And I want to make sure. They were so helpful to her.
They gave her 10 times the information her regular doctor gave her.
Really? Oh, yeah.
And her doctor charged her, like, buku bucks.
Yeah.
$2,500 in tests alone. And then told her, we don't know.
Wow.
She went to Legacy and they referred her to the right people. Mm-hmm. They heard what she needed to know.
So, I mean, it's... And that's across the board.
Yeah.
They don't care who walks in that door. If you need help, there's help available.
They do well women's checkups. They do all this testing.
Oh, yes.
And they do it on a sliding scale, as long as you can prove your income. I could.
Yeah.
So.
The women's program is great over there.
Really great. Mm-hmm. They've been wonderful. And they came out and they're doing... Do I say it? Or you
I love it. You can tell it.
At our event, they came out and they did a community outreach table where they gave out Save Sex, you know, the packets.
Oh, yeah,
I love
those packets.
And they're coming out again, and they're going to do that again. We were trying to convince them to come out and do the testing like they used to do at EJ's, but the numbers were too large, and it was just...
It's just not the right place to do it.
Okay.
It's not
the
target.
Okay.
But they're more than willing... If you have a group that... It's not an, like, they do it at EJ's, but EJ's is a special place.
Well, of course. They do it there. They do it at the Tubs.
All you have to do is call them.
They had a tent during the Pride Fest. You know, it's...
All you have to do is call them and say, hey, look, we have this event. We have this going on. We want a community table.
Sure.
And they send out the best people.
They do.
They had fun. They hung out with the BDSM community outreach table folks and just giggled all night long. And they thanked us afterwards
for
coming and hanging out, you know?
Because they're part of this community.
Exactly.
They just don't work for Legacy. They're part of the community.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They've done so much. But to hear, our leather sister's story of, you know, here she went to her doctor. She's in an overlap of insurance. And because of the testing, they were saying, oh, it's a pre-existing.
Yeah.
Legacy doesn't care about that. Come in if you need the help.
Yeah.
So many people deny themselves medical care because of financial or, you know, whatever reason, you're scared, you're whatever. They don't judge. They understand whatever situation you're in, they're going to flow with it and help you out.
So you're raising money at this event?
Yes, in the March event, we got $750 for them. And a lot of their funding has been cut.
Oh, so yeah, I know.
Any chunk of change that they can get, I mean, that's just like, wow, we can do this much more.
I know. Aresis is raising money this year for Legacy, and ICOH is raising money for the drug assistance program over at Legacy. And so, you know, they are getting help from the community.
Well, and then that's what, you know, that's that community base. They come out into the community and help out so much.
They do.
That it's good to be able to give back. We're trying for 1,000.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll get there. I think we should.
Well, we have two raffles this time. We're doing one during the VIP hours at the SinFest, which is 8 to 10. And we're doing a second one later on at 1 a.m. You can get tickets for $1. There'll be people running around selling them all night long. It's a one ticket takes all package, and every vendor that is coming to the event is donating two items to the package.
Ooh.
We are not charging them vendor fees. They are donating their time and energy to make this event even better.
Wow.
And they're not just community vendors. These are folks, they're community folks, but they're coming in from Dallas and San Antonio and all over the state to vend. Mm-hmm. And then the Ren Faire people.
Oh, really?
We mm-hmm. have Rennie costumes and jewelry and all these folks. Everybody has just been great for the SinFest. They want to come out. They want to have fun. They want to interact. And they like that it's not got any sponsorship other than by one big, fun leather family.
Mm.
That makes them all hot.
We are also, you know, you asked what we were doing. Next Saturday,
mm-hmm.
we will be at EJ's.
Will we now?
Yes, we're going to perform at EJ's
uh-huh.
To benefit this show.
Yes. It's an interesting thing that's happened that when I had to go out of town, and there's a friend of mine who has always wanted to be on the show, he said, I think it would be fun to just hang out with you. And I said, okay, well, come on. And he said, okay, how about such and such a night? I said, great. Then I found out I wasn't going to be in town. So he said, well, I'll come anyway. And he kind of took my place with Chris. Had a great time, but it happened to have been the first night of our membership drive. And No.
Just a coincidence, he always misses the first week of fun drive.
We had trouble with the phones for the first hour, so we weren't getting any calls. And by the time we got the phones fixed, I guess, you know, people had, like, slept off, and we didn't really make any money.
And this benefit next week is
in the morning.
This benefit next week is for KPFT Houston After Hours.
Yes.
We're going to have fun.
Did I tell you what number I'm doing, Chris?
No.
I'm going to do Sweet Transvestite. But I'm doing...
This is going to be hilarious.
I'm going to do the Rocky Horror Punk Rock Show version.
And we have...
We have it behind us here.
Yes.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
I love
that
CD.
With us.
It's so raw.
Mm-hmm. It does, doesn't it?
And I can't wait. I've been practicing secretly for a really long time and waiting for the appropriate event to come out. And since everybody always accuses me of being a drag queen in that bar, I figured for one night I could be a drag queen. I just happen to have my appendage at home in the drawer.
We have such fun at these events.
You have your appendage here, right here.
Always.
Yes, always.
I'm
and
very
it's got
happy
cute
to
panties.
Yes, and I would just love to strum that guitar.
We were.
You need to be female to be a drag queen. Look at Dolly Parton.
Hello.
Yeah.
Madonna.
So that's next Saturday night at EJ's 8:30.
At EJ's.
Yeah.
We're gonna
have Jim
fun.
put it all together himself.
Wow.
We have done nothing.
He sent me an email and we got involved.
Isn't it just amazing? Yeah, and there's so many different people from so many different areas of the GLBT community that are supporting this. I'm just amazed.
Well, you happen to be a little loved.
Do you know this is the first time in the 20-year history of the show that anyone has done a fundraiser for us? We've had...
That's odd.
It is. Mm. Now, we've had like, the Misfits as guests, and they happened to have bartended that night, and so they gave us half their, you know, their tips.
Wow.
Stuff like that, but nobody has ever really put together a fundraiser.
Oh, we like doing that.
This is a whole new thing. I don't know how to even react to it.
And part of what we're doing at SinFest is letting people express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There is an art to any alternative lifestyle.
Yes, I want to know all that's going to happen at SinFest.
Well,
yeah.
You did give us
one of the things that I wrote a three-act
play.
Well,
that's so you can talk while I'm busy over here.
We can talk all day. I'm going to talk all day. Anyway.
I wrote a three-act play,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Taken Down and Pinned.
Taken down and pinned. Is this not a wrestling?
It is wrestling.
Oh, okay.
It's fighting.
We have four lovely ladies mm-hmm. From across Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There is Miss Genocide.
Uh-huh.
There is a Valkyrie. We have Kill a Pussy. And Catatonic.
Is Killa her first name?
Yes.
I see, okay.
She's one of the Cadaver Cabaret girls. And she's
incredible. She's out of Dallas.
Those girls are amazing.
And they're coming down to hang out with us and have fun.
Yeah, we're just throwing one big party is all this is going to be. It's going to be just, there's so many people participating.
And the Thrac play is going to run at 10:30, 11:30, and 12:30. Mm-hmm. And the winner is going to be crowned Miss Summer Sinfest. What the girls are actually fighting for is part of my shoe collection.
Ah! They all have the same size feet.
They all have the same size feet. Now, they have different size everything else, but they all have the same size feet, and I figured since I'm, like, officially retired, that I don't need to walk in 7-inch heels no more.
I see.
Yeah, I just don't need to do that.
7-inch, God.
You know how tall she is in those shoes?
Yeah.
Amazon.
Really looks like a drag queen. In
yeah, the, yeah, yeah. She. And, but yet, I'm the one who's the drag queen every time I go into Chase. I don't have to. Most of the time.
I don't know.
It happens to me in the middle of the day. It happens to me late at night. There, I just gave up and finally said I had a penis. I was just like, fine, I'm a man. I'm more of a man than you. Get off on my back.
Well, I'm a jack.
I'm a lumberjack. Look, isn't this?
I know. They really show up very
nicely. And they're very sensitive.
He's going to giggle.
He's
going
to giggle. No, they hurt. These ones hurt.
Well, not on this side.
Yeah, but
doesn't.
When he hurts, he giggles. That's what makes it fun to hurt him.
Yeah, you push it. You know what I did notice when we pulled up?
Yeah.
That they have blinds on the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the fun is always looking out, seeing who drives by really slow to see what we're really doing in here.
I thought it was Noon and Chris.
Well, there have been many times I've had to close those blinds.
Nude radio.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody should come out to this event. I mean, the next two weekends are just going to be rock star weekends.
He's invited next time we do nude radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Drop your pants. See, this is one of the really good things about having an S&M relationship.
Yeah.
Is I say he does, and yeah.
Wow. He is so smooth. I love
Isn't
that.
Isn't he? He shaves.
And exfoliates. Yes.
And exfoliates. We have to exfoliate.
Oh, I like that.
He doesn't know what to say.
I really blushing. Like that.
He's getting all blushing.
And now Jimmy's playing with the fender.
He's plucking it, baby. He's plucking it hard.
Hit a power chord.
The night. I probably need to do this, but there's a lot of folks out at the Glass House out in Spring Branch that I hated to leave. One of our vendors, Mr. and Mrs. P, which stands for possum.
We're not joking.
We're not joking.
Possum?
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Possum. They're one of our vendors. And we were out there earlier, and wonderful party. We tried to get them all to come in to the radio.
He's trying
What's
not to laugh.
What's the matter, honey?
He's trying not to laugh.
He's wrong.
If y'all could see what's going on in this room right now, you'd be blushing too.
Yeah, and we just like to have a good time.
He really is.
We do like to have a good time. One of the things, VIP hours are from 8 p.m., and it is only 21 and over.
From 8 to 10.
So it's an adult swim from 8 to 10.
Uh-huh.
And it's 15 in advance, 20 at the door, which is, for a fetish event, that's amazing.
Oh, by the way, we have an online listener who wishes he was here.
What's his name? We'll give him a special
call. Is it Wilbur?
Brian.
Brian?
Say hi to Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I don't think he could hear
hi,
you.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Oh, and they're online.
I'm surprised he can even talk.
Oh, I was hitting my pet.
Oh.
Oh, I love the look. Look at the reaction from Chris.
Chris is
very good. Chris is mild-mannered. He's very handsome, and he just kind of sits there, and he listens to all of us, and he takes
dirty,
it all in, and
thoughts.
He cuts us off when we need to be cut off, and, you know, he lets us know when we need to say it's, you know, KPFT, 90.1 Houston,
Pacifica.
Pacifica.
I love that.
And he just gave me this surprised look. And
it was, well, part of it was the fact that I wasn't really seeing that. My eyes were to the right, and it's like I just saw a hand go up there, and I heard the smack over the headphones. I'm going, what the?
It's okay if you look.
It's okay if you watch.
We got a big one. I was chatting on here, and it was like all of a sudden that flashed up. And I saw the hand motion and the smack. It's like, what?
Yeah, hey, Brian, that's what you happened. Do us.
We do need to tell you guys some things that are going on with SinFest that are going to be completely different from anything you've ever seen happening before. Thanks to our wonderful siblings out at the Temple of Flesh in San Antonio, they've hooked us up with the Dirty South Ravers. These guys do full on media installations with videos and imagery, all kinds of wonderful perverted stuff. They're coming in and helping out, doing some, adding another element to our event, along with some slideshow from the Temple of Flesh.
It's ribbed for your pleasure.
You guys are so missing what's going on in this room. And I'm trying to stay on ball, and I have sleep depth. Y'all are mean. And then a good friend of ours from Dimensional Lighting and Sound is going to come out and provide intelligent lighting. So when you're on that dance floor, you can be lit up and sparkling and wonderful. We have two great DJs spinning for us. Many of you guys have hung out at Numbers for years, and you know Vampire James, that good-looking long-haired boy with the sharp teeth. Well, he is going to be spinning the early part of the evening before he's not replaced, but before he... DJ Spinlock from Atomics in San Antonio takes over the helm.
Oh.
So, wish you guys could see what's happening to
Jimmy,
right now.
Yes. Be careful with that. We don't have anyone here with a yellow hanky.
Y'all are missing.
I'm not doing this.
Apparently, our guest here is very ticklish.
I'm very ticklish.
I didn't know that.
We are having special performances from Cadaver Cabaret. They're doing three numbers. The Minion of Houston, the dancers that you often see at Underworld, Carmenia's production, those beautiful people are going to be dancing on our stage, and they're going to do a special performance. Oh, they're all, and they're bringing hot chicks, too. Oh, and they're all going to be body painted by ABC Body Painting. And the weekend, Jimmy, you guys should come out to Fitzgerald's on Sunday the 29th, because I'm going to be in this Houston body art thing where we paint all these bodies and promote body art in Houston. And you're going to just die. You have to hold that giggle back much longer. If you pee in your pants, I'm not cleaning it up.
What did you say about a yellow hanky? And then
Robert comes in.
He's got a yellow plastic plate. What is
that? He's ready. Oh, that's more than we knew about Robert than before.
Yeah, well, you know, he's flagging on that right side, so...
Yeah, the more you hurt it, the more he'll laugh, which is really weird for
me. I'm not hurting it,
dude,
though.
I've watched her punch him right there and make grown men cry, and he giggles like a girl. It's the funniest stuff.
It's hilarious.
Do that again.
Thanks to our wonderful friends in HPEP, we're going to have two dungeons at this event.
I heard about this.
Did you hear about this? The Fondage Stick is coming out. They're going to be in the Red Room on the dance floor, and they're going to have people to tie you up. And then the Photo SIG, SIG stands for Special Interest Group, in case you don't know. The Photo SIG is going to come out and take damsel in distress or dude in distress, whoever's tied up in distress and wants to be photographed pictures. And then HPEP itself is going to be providing us with a full-fledged dungeon in the main room.
I heard about the dungeons, and you guys are having in basically sling equipment that someone could put an Audi up on there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big Red.
We are amazingly blessed.
It's called Big Red. It's
big enough to hold three people at once.
And we're talking...
not so petite flowers.
Posse.
Yeah.
I don't use that.
Can swing on.
Mm-hmm.
It's this huge piece of equipment. HPEP is providing the equipment for us.
They are also going to be dungeon mastering in the room, and we will have a person on every piece of equipment to help you if you need guidance.
Oh.
They will also be there to make sure everyone's safety is adhered to. There will be no photography allowed in the dungeon other than the authorized SIG participation in the Red Room. There will be no smoking in the Red Room
either.
That's
one small area that...
Right.
Because we know a lot of people don't want to be photographed.
And you can only come to this event if you have a pret with a camera or a camera phone. Don't think I won't slap it out of your hand, because I've done it before and I'll do it again.
Okay.
Yeah, because
people make me mad.
Some people just aren't out, and we don't want to. We don't want to be the ones to do it.
Okay.
It's not my job. So
we are very confined in where photos are taken.
Mm-hmm. And the people who do have press passes have to sign a waiver where they cannot photograph anything but the main stage and crowd participation after asking the individual before they take their picture. And I will have a page up with all of their links so you can go get your pictures yourself after the event.
Mm-hmm.
What a concept.
Wow.
Something, you know, some people tend to drop
on. This is the first time that we're doing an event without a large sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Little independent stores and websites.
We've been having such a great time meeting people. People have been coming out of the woodwork going, I hear you're doing this, like, kind of on the shoestring budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, beyond shoestring.
God, they're so dirty.
The guys in the other room were just cracking
Man,
up.
There's a lot of guys in the other room.
They're all pressed against the window going, what's it in?
What is
Poor Glenn.
Deal? Yeah.
Poor baby.
So
very, very naughty. The red room,
I don't see him running away.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. The red room is going to be non-smoking, so there is accommodations for that. The Eros meeting that day will not be at Rudyard's. It will be at the Meridian. Yeah, they are coming out to support the event during the day.
We've got everybody coming out.
The vendors are coming out early to vend for Eros.
Mm-hmm.
Some wonderful friend of ours who have this great product for breast bondage are coming out and doing the class forum.
And for genital bondage for males.
Are they going to show both for the...
They're going to try to show both, but they don't know quite how to do the logistics of it.
And they need one of those elephant G-strings.
No, what we're going to do is we're probably going to use electrical tape and wrap it in electrical tape and then...
encase it so then it's not really naked. Oh, this is in a bar where they serve alcohol.
So it's TABC. You got to
make sure your nipples and your fronts are covered up or we will cover them for you.
Anything.
Ooh.
And you will like duct tape down there if you're not shaved.
Street legal.
Street legal. But as long as you have a sheer top on, it counts, guys. It's the other thing about this event that's great. Yes. We're not locking it into just fetish wear. I want to see you out there in costumes. You should see my mermaid outfit. I'm going to be awfully cute. And if you don't see it, you're missing out, because they're in a whole lot to it. And they're dying over here. And so I'm encouraging people. You know all you big male dominants who like to come out in Hawaiian shirts? You'll look cool. Okay?
You'll look cool. Your one opportunity to look cool.
Come on out.
We've got some great vendors coming out.
We've got
leather,
there's toys.
Including the one on the top, on the shoulders.
We have Ren Faire vendors coming out that are going to be selling jewelry and accessories and costuming orders. We have custom corsetiers coming out. We have mini toy makers. Really, there'll be equipment for sale. God, y'all are totally messing me up. I'm trying so hard to do this right.
So, Jimmy,
hey, those folks out at the glass house,
you're missing it.
I know you're having fun, and but wow.
Oh, and the Cadaver Cabaret girls are being sponsored by MessyGirl.com, where I am the featured model for the past 2 months, getting goop and other wonderful things stuck all over me.
Oh, splashing.
See, I think I think they need to have a messy boy.
And keep trying to talk him into it.
Yeah, I don't know. The dude just wants to film women, and I don't understand it.
That's his client.
It's one of those, you know.
It's business.
Yeah, you know, I understand that niche market thing. They're being part of, you know, the big men's.
Right. It's genre, like any other very select fetish.
Yeah.
And I we had a great time. They've done everything from throw 100 pies at me at once, and I got to roll around in this wonderful cold muck. It was great. Had a blast. to just all kinds of insane things. And then the Temple of Flesh is being sponsored by YakiesWorld.com, which is, if you have a tickle fetish, I make tickle videos with him, and he's been on Howard Stern and all this other stuff. And I can't even pay attention when they're like that. So they're coming out. Yeah, I'm very fortunate.
Yeah,
everything we're focusing
out.
On. Yeah, somebody's coming out online. Oh,
poor
my.
Man.
So embarrassing.
You can't take him anywhere, can you?
Love.
Can you imagine what they'll do if you bring him next week and Jimmy's going to be there? It's already EJ.
He's going to be Jimmy's date.
Yeah.
Huh?
He's going to be Jimmy's date. You may or may not recognize.
You probably won't recognize him. Because... Yeah,
I would tell you to look for the drag queen with the big hair, but it won't help. This is Texas. All the drag queens have big hair.
Higher the hair, the closer to Jesus.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the rodeo and seen the big girls with the guest thing on their butts? Mm-hmm. I wanted to make a thing that said big hair and big butts only at the rodeo one night because I hit like a whole row of them, and I kept going. I'm serious. Every butt I walked past had a guest button on it, and I was like, guys, you don't want me to like open my mouth. Because even the skinny girls, I wanted to go, don't advertise guess your weight, but that's just because I'm weird. And but big hair. Big hair is a big thing. Even little big hair. I saw girls with like short hair, and it was all big, too. What are you doing to that poor boy?
Nothing. That doesn't look like nothing.
He's firing off the Surgeon General. Red Rocket, Red Rocket. Yeah,
that was the worst South Beck.
I am so glad Chris is here to fill in because we're all like,
Chris is helping me.
That's part of the good thing about being on this side, you know. All I see is a flash of jewelry.
Those were fillings, Chris.
So, let everyone know what we're talking about here. It's the Summer Sin Fest. On July 21st, over at the Meridian Houston.
Woohoo!
They've been so...
Oh my God, Bob, I love you. I'm saying it on the air. You are the patron saint of venues right now.
Yeah,
and
he's really...
Once he found out
it was for the community.
Yeah.
He used to manage Garden of the Heights, and he was one of the people involved with the foundings of the Westheimer Arts Festival. I mean, he's just an all-around good guy in general. And he lets me come to shows for free, so I really like that.
And they have some unique shows over there. One of the...
Jimmy needs someone to hold his glasses.
Oh, my, because now we can't tell you what they're doing
over
there.
Now, speaking of bobbing...
and there ain't no apples in the booth.
Yeah, so who's got his dentures?
Not me.
Glenn.
Do you happen to be stuck somewhere?
Once they found out that this is a community effort, like I said, my whole... There's unity and diversity. If we all join together and help each other out, everybody wins.
Yeah.
We're
only going to get stronger if we unite.
It's across the board. It doesn't matter if it's...
if you're a swinger, we support your right to choose. We're poly.
And a lot of times that the gay community doesn't interact with the pansexual community, and I never understood why.
Yeah.
And you guys have always welcomed us, so we just want to return the favor. I wanted somebody to come out and do a drag number, but I can never get anybody to rent me back. Just a note, folks, I want some drag numbers in these shows in the future.
If we could just, like, say... Who would I like to see at this event? I'd like to see some of the men from the Ripcord come out.
With their chaps on and nothing on their butts.
Yeah.
And I promise to behave this time and not pinch you. Maybe. If I get drunk, I'm sorry. Okay? Apologizing in advance.
But, you know... Mary's has always... You know, naturally is... Anything, you know... We have a sweet bar
roses
syndrome over there,
over
roses
there.
Over there.
Well, we love Danny Rose.
I think part of it is some of that misconception of what all the pansexuality, what all the BDSM is. You know, it's... You know, with my group, I'm a part with the Houston Council of Clubs, which is a lot of leather and Levi organizations.
Right.
And HPEP is an auxiliary member of them.
Yeah, they fun. Thank you, guys.
So
thank you so much.
It's one of those things of, you know, learning other...
cultures.
Yeah, other cultures is basically in the same
experience.
Community. And, you know, it's one of those things you... It does take some things getting used to and understanding
because
there's a lot of protocol and there's a lot of rules to it.
Well,
that some people, you know.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those low protocol events. It's going to be more about having a good time, mm-hmm. enjoying the arts that we have involved. We have people in. Okay, this is being done by our Leather family. You have to remember that Daddy Dick, as many of y'all remember, performing around town a little bit back, Dyke Mike. That's one of our family members. We have crossdressers, we have transgenders, we have lesbians, we have gay boys, we have, you know, a little bit of mixed in the middle. We have gay for pay, you know, whatever it takes. Yeah.
Well, one of the things, it's we don't define somebody by who you sleep with or who you're attracted to.
Or
it's an individual person.
Yeah.
And everybody has something to bring to the table. Even we've met people go, well, I just got into this. I don't know much. Well, that's okay. You still have ideas and opinions.
Yeah.
You still did something at home behind doors that you were kind of embarrassed about. Tell me what it was.
and a lot of it, because we've had to be so closeted for so long, there used to be the hush of the parties. I mean, now we have cell phones and internet. Hi, Brian. I know you're still listening.
Well, so he's probably passed out now.
Don't pass out, Brian. Don't pass out. Take your shoes off first. that it was so underground.
Yeah.
You couldn't have the large clubs and. Now it's out there. A lot of the mystique is gone. But it's time to get unified because it's the only way that a lot of these small clubs are going to survive anymore.
The time of the house party still exists. You know, there's still plenty of small clubs doing home parties. And there's plenty of things that go on in nightclubs and we have educational events. I mean, our community does so much all the time. And if we can find a place to bring everybody together and we can all see that the difference is not that. You like to smack people? I like to smack people. Yes. Maybe your people are the same gender. I'm sorry. I have two female submissives and a boy pet. Okay? And I prefer men. So, I mean, you know, those girls, though, they can take some pain.
Yeah, but you like to cuddle with women.
I do like to cuddle with women. I like to kiss women. Women
like to kiss women.
And that's part of what some people don't understand about it. They hear this whole concept, and it's just, you know, somebody beating the crap out of someone.
Oh, no.
No,
it's so much deeper and more.
But that's, what, unfortunately, what a lot of people see and figure. They don't understand.
Well, it's that stereotypical. And if we're trying to, like, kind of break through that,
mm-hmm.
That's why we call this an adult-oriented performance art experience. Because it's an installation, Pete. You know, if you look at the piece overall, you're going to be walking through and you're going to get to see the sensory of what's... You can touch and feel the products. You can go through the experiences of the dungeons. You can see what other people who have experience do. We have a community-supported table so you can find out about stuff going on around town. We have, you know, safe sex education. We have so many different things that you can experience under this roof, even if you're just a little bit interested. I support both sides of the fence, so we get all kinds of information out to people. It's really nice the way folks are coming out for it. You can get your tickets in advance through Ticketmaster, but it's more affordable if you go straight to the venue and go say hi to Floyd and Danetta and... Ask Danetta if you can see her purple possum.
She's going to kill you. She's going to kill you. She's
Paybacks, Danetta, for jacking with my head about somebody being mad at me when they weren't.
Oh, she's going to... There's a...
I told her I'd get back at her.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a bad way to do it. If you ask her about it, she might hit you, so don't ask her really. But just know I know.
She's probably passed out by now.
No, they're still wrapping up. It's only like 3:30. Yeah. They're still in closeout. I hope that a lot of people went out tonight down the Meridian because there was the 777 show, and you definitely need to check out the bands. They're really good folks. There's a major event coming up in Dallas called Beyond Vanilla.
That's in September.
That's in September. We're going to be performing with Cadaver Cabaret in Dallas in August. We go back to San Antonio in October.
Oh, Brian, you know, if we could webcast this to you...
You could make a lot of money a minute, I'll tell you
this. Yeah.
Radio porn.
Radio porno.
That's a good song.
It's a crazy, crazy world we live in. Can I do some promoting for HPEP?
Sure, because that was one of the things I was going to next. We had a caller wanting to know, you know, where do you find some of these people? Where do you find some of these these groups of, if they're interested in this? This person was looking more in for bisexual females.
Well, Whitney jumps up and raises her hand. Me. Let me give you my personal favorite Yahoo e-group. Yahoo e-groups are a great resource. Let me start there. But my personal favorite one is Kinky Texans, because it gets you information for all across the entire state. It's one of the best networking ones you've got out there.
What is the Yahoo group?
It's www.group.yahoo.com/group/kinky Texans.
All one word.
All small letters.
That's pretty good.
I didn't think I'd know that.
No,
huh?
I knew you'd know it. I knew you'd know it because you type it enough.
That's my favorite one. For local information, we have
HPEP.org.
HPEP.org. I am proud to announce that I was elected to the HPEP board this year, thanks to all my friends and family.
And I'm proud to announce that I wasn't.
And I'm not allowed to say that word, but she's a female dog. Because she got out of it.
Yeah.
And
you can say that. You can say the actual word.
Can I?
Yeah.
Bitch.
The only thing you can't do is you can't drop an F-bomb.
Oh, that's right. I have to remember to not, and I love that word, too, so I have to behave.
Well, would you say FCC instead?
Okay. Fornicate.
Man, he's FCC in the crap out
unicorn.
Of him.
Oh. Ouch. Smack it.
Say hi to Brian. He's online.
Hi, Brian.
But
Brian's like, oh my God, I so wanted to tune into this.
This new HPEP.
Oh, he's
board.
Upset he wanted to be here.
Oh.
He should be here.
Should be here watching. Everybody should be here watching. Y'all will be getting off.
It's great that the webcast goes out and.
My boyfriend.
I've got people
tomorrow?
From everywhere that listen.
And you can get an audio archive of this show at kpft.org, at least for the next 30 days, or until the FCC shuts down the station for this show.
They aren't watching, just listening.
They could guess. And then again, we are performers.
Yeah.
So you never really know.
We could be faking it. I don't think we are, but we could be. But HPEP's new board.
Are you faking
HPEP's
it?
New board is very exuberant and excited, and we are trying to create a resurgence and interest in the community. They have put me in charge. This is so funny. They let me be in charge of responding to all the emails on the Yahoo e-group. I don't know who was smoking that day, but I get to answer all the emails, and luckily I've learned a little tact over the years, surprisingly. And, I'm responding to everybody immediately, mm-hmm. and I'm getting people to voice their opinions without it being critical, and we've got all the SIG leaders coming out and being more and more involved. We had the newcomers meeting this weekend, earlier tonight, and had a good turnout. All the board members came out and introduced themselves. The meeting that will be at the Meridian on the 21st will be a town hall meeting. If you've ever wanted to be involved and you didn't like the way we were doing things in the past, rather than sitting at home and renting something on your computer that we all are not going to be so nice about when we read it, come open your mouth in public. Come out to the meeting. Tell us what you want to see done. Tell me what you're willing to do to help me make it happen, though. Because
yeah.
I am not here doing this by myself. I have six other people on the board and an innumerable amount of members who need to return, get re-involved, help us spark the interest, because we want to have another ball. We want to pull off a big show for everybody, and they become more involved with the Council of Clubs because they respect what you guys have done. And it was so cute. They were like, have you ever heard of this and that? I was like, oh my gosh, I go to the Whips. I go with Whips. Yes, I know they do this. Do you know they do Christmas? You know, I told them around and turned to them and I said, do you know they do Christmas trees? Do you know they do this? And they all kind of went, oh, wow, you really know a lot more about... I said, yeah, I sit on both sides of the fence. Yeah. I go to pansexual and leather. I love everybody. We're poly, as I always say. We're poly. We love everybody.
And that's what makes this event, is that so many people have volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it alone. It takes groups. It takes participation.
Takes hands. Somebody's got to move those chairs, and I...
I'm only so strong. And
yeah,
I
and I mean, it's the smallest thing. So when people say, oh, I'd like to get more involved, or I'd like to more know more about this group, it is intimidating to walk into a group that you've never been to before and say, you know, I like this. No matter what group you're in, it's hard to walk in and say, hey, but the best way to get to know any group is to say, what can I do? What can I do to help out?
Yeah.
And
there's not an organization you can find around here that doesn't need some, you know, a helping hand or a hand up.
Yeah.
They can see things and they're saying naughty stuff in the other room. It's all you, Chris. Chris is wiping out. No, dude, you're holding us together. You can't fade now. Be my strength.
Chris, man, we don't.
I'm sorry, my Freudian slip is showing.
I didn't.
This show, please don't play it back later.
Welcome to Amtrak Radio. We get derailed easily.
Yes.
Speaking of railed, should we take a TV timeout, you think?
We're going to let Glenn say something.
Why don't we play Sweet Transvestite?
That's what I had, yeah.
How cool would that
be?
I got it queued up.
Let him grow. Yeah, so we can watch the show.
And
I'm letting them watch that show.
We'll take a step out for a moment to grab a cigarette.
Yeah, because we only got like 22 minutes
two
left.
Two cigarettes.
So.
It wasn't that good. All right, let's go to a little Sweet Transvestite from the Rocky Horror Punk Rock Show.
Greatest season.
This is Apocalypse Hoboken. And this is After Hours. Unless you're planning on reporting us, we're dead air.
Do I see you've met my faithful handyman? He's just a little bright down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candyman. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge up on my job. You look like you're both pretty groovy. What if you want something little wild that's not to a baseball? We can take it in old green movie. Well, you got caught with a flash. Well, how about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. Don't you stay for the night, or maybe a bite. I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. Just a sweet transvestite. Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame.
so I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Apocalypse Hoboken.
Great song. I'm going to have so much fun doing that. Hopefully this time I won't fall down the stairs again. That was kind of embarrassing last time.
And we all have our clothes back on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, nobody's naked anymore.
Or any less.
Wow, that was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
Could somebody get Jimmy a wet nap?
Mm. No.
Just a toothbrush.
I don't like to use
toothbrush. Polydent. Polydent.
Oh, that's wrong.
I don't like to miss a drop.
I thought Jimmy was already wet and his nappy.
Y'all are so sick. I love you. I love you, sick.
I don't get to do that very often.
But isn't it nice when you do?
Yeah. Really nice.
Aww, how sweet and Furby you sound.
Yeah.
Next weekend, we're out at EJ's. Come out and see us.
Oh, yeah.
Bring money.
Bring money. Money makes the world go around. The world go around. A
few dollars or a lot of dollars, whatever you got.
Okay.
Oh, just bring it all.
It's really just PVC. I want big bucks. I want to see fives. I want to see tens. I want to see 20s. I've been doing this too dang long, and I'm not getting to keep any of the money. I'm giving it all this radio station, so please bring your cash. Come out.
I want people to come and just have a good time and enjoy the show.
Oh, and if you order your drink, I like it. They got cash in room.
And if you do not tip us enough by the end of the show,
yes.
Jimmy and I are starting off the strip contest.
Yes. See, so...
Together. And don't forget, while you're in EJ's, if you get a drink from Jared, please refer to him as Candy Ass.
Ooh.
We all know he likes that.
He likes that, huh?
Order sex in your mouth and say, hey, Candy Ass, I want sex in my mouth. Watch him pass out. It'll be worth it.
But he'll make you a really
good
drink.
Which one's Jared?
The tall South African white guy that's real so pretty. That y'all got in drag
that y'all think is so pretty.
And you know what? I have those pictures of him in drag on MySpace bigger than anything. Ha, ha, ha.
Uh-huh.
You thought you had privacy.
I wanted to also thank Mike. He did all the artwork on our flyers. We're going to be flying the crap out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Expect it
looks like beach blanket bingo.
It doesn't.
We told him.
I mean, kind of 50s style. You
we
know,
needed
those kind
a man.
Of 50s.
We wanted one side for a woman and one side for the man. But he's heterosexual and doesn't understand that these little people that are flying on the record, this dude has plaid pants on.
Ooh,
yeah, somebody asked me if that was
so
the dress
gay.
Code for men. I was like, no.
Not even on the golf course.
Yeah.
No.
They're not even knickers. They're regular old pants. But he did some beautiful artwork. July 21st, Summer Sin Fest at the Meridian.
Mm-hmm.
We only got like 15 more minutes.
Ooh.
And I'm so tired.
Actually, less because we need a couple of minutes to close out. Yeah.
So we have even less.
Yeah.
Are you recovered now?
I'm fine.
So why don't you tell us what's going on at FBI the night before on the 20th?
Yeah, you want to come party with us the night before when our whole family's just throwing down, blowing off steam before we have to produce this party?
Yeah, let's hear about that.
Tell us where to be.
Friday night at FBI Rocks Club. It's off Jones Road by 1960.
Mm-hmm. Just forget about it, Rocks.
Forget about it.
FBI
it's the new location.
Oh, no kidding. That's what it stands for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Where was that again, you said?
It's on Jones Road by 1960. It's a mile west.
They have two clubs. They have one on Highway 6.
Okay.
Right there behind the castle. That's
Highway 6 in Little York.
Forget about it, too. Okay. I'm trying to remember. That's my neck of the woods.
Okay.
Oh, that's where we are, too. That's where we're all based out of.
Okay, so what kind of club is this?
It's a rock club.
It's rock.
It's a rock and roll club. And my band, Wide Open Throttle, will be playing that night.
Cool.
We'll be headlining. And we're also playing with the Dolly Rockers. They're a great band. They're a mixture of a couple other bands.
He's hot on stage, too.
Yeah. They're a mixture of a couple of other bands. We have to give props to Poor Dumb Bastards.
And I do
Yeah, Poor Dumb Bastards.
And speaking of the Poor Dumb Bastards, I just want to say their guitarist passed away, Hunter.
Yes,
Say, Hunter, we miss you, and we're sorry. And
we're sorry for your loss,
guys. I heard that on KPFT. On another show.
And another good friend of mine the following night passed away.
Oh, man.
Jerry Bolton.
A lot of people
Be careful
driving home.
Jerry was a great man, so just my condolences to his family. And
yes, we feel for all of y'all who feel their losses.
Oh, man.
So we're going to try to, do something special for both of them.
Okay.
That's the night before on July 20th
at FBI.
And if you meet us out there, trust us, you'll know who we are.
I'll be the girl with no clothes practically on, and I'll have the words CDs
Summer
for
Sin
sale.
Fest, something.
Ask me about Sinfest. I'll have stuff written on me.
Well, if you come out, you can listen to the band, because we also donated CDs for the raffle.
Okay.
For the Summer Sinfest raffle.
They're totally supporting it.
And what we'll do is
Merlin,
we'll pull another CD, and we are going to have a CD.
Then he donated a $100 tattoo towards the raffle drawing as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to bring a CD next Saturday night to give away for the fundraiser.
Uh-huh. Great.
We believe in cross-promotion. Cross-promotion.
Absolutely.
Everybody wins.
Absolutely.
Unity and diversity. Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of people in the third largest city in America that we
the
can...
The fourth.
Oh, fourth. Well, it depends who you ask.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's number one. In this a city of this size, there's no reason that we can't all promote each other, because we very rarely overlap.
Right.
And we could have everyone going out to everything all the time and never get bored and always have fun. And I'd be happy.
And meet a lot of cool people.
Yeah.
A lot of cool folks, and get lots to wear lots of neat things.
It's everyone's chance for a rock star weekend.
Yeah, come out and party with the rock stars.
Yeah.
And if you meet us out there either next weekend at EJ's or at FBI, come up and tell us who you are, and you can get a free raffle ticket
for our event.
Mm.
For our event.
But you must be present to win, so you have to come to the event. It's kind of a promotional tool.
Yeah.
I'm your tool, baby.
And now that we... Because, in truth, the membership, fundraisers aren't easy to do. When you're sitting here asking folks for money, it's so much better to go into a club, have fun.
Have fun.
You don't even have to, make a phone call.
You don't mind giving out your money, when you're being entertained.
And we will entertain you. I promise you, you will be entertained. No matter what you're into, just tell us about it, and we can pretty much, we'll plan it.
Okay.
We'll make sure it happens. It's going to be a great event. So there's three opportunities for you to get out of your house. I know it's been raining and crappy, but you got to shake the blues off. I'd rather have it raining than 115 degrees.
Yeah, that's our theory. We'd rather swim home than sweat home.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Time to wrap up.
Yes, thank you guys.
Thank you
so much.
I love you guys so much. And I have been promoting that fundraiser on my MySpace account also.
Yeah, you can
if you want to find me on MySpace, it's myspace.com/Michelle from Hell. The Summer Sinfest also has a page. It's myspace.com/Summer Sinfest. How easy is that?
Really?
You can find me anytime.
And we got two more. If you want to know more about the show, you can go to www.wotband.net. That's wattband.net.
Wide open throttle.
And you can also go to FBIRocks.com and get more information from the show and their show that we're going to have in the future as well.
Okay. FBIRocks.com?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
He gets all sweaty on stage.
Ooh.
He becomes
a show. I'm on stage. It's good, though. The whole band's good. They really are good.
It's a good night out. Thank you so much for having us out.
You bet. Thank you for coming.
We'll see you next weekend. I hope to see everybody out there next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy, thanks more than just y'all for coming. Some for coming more than others.
One of my fantasies came true tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that rocks.
Hey, cool.
Happy
anniversary to the Possums and everybody at the Glass House.
Hey, it's a safari party. You guys were having fun when I left. I hope you kept it up. I'm sorry I had to come home from Kingwood. But
what the hell.
Tacos.
We're out of here.
Put a little music in our ear, and then we'll come back with a bit of a wrap-up here. Me first and the Gimme Gimmies, with a little cover of an artist that was here recently. And this is After Hours.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. I go out every night and sleep all day since you took your love away. Since you've been gone.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmies with Nothing Compares to You. Fierce and Cyndi Lauper was in town recently. We tried a cover of her song. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and got a couple of MBB letters we're going to go through quickly. First one's from RJ. And they screwed up putting the tape on to close this. Stuck to the letter. He's hoping he'll be able to join us soon enough from his confines. As far as Stacy, I haven't seen hide nor hair of Stacy in quite some time. So I didn't see Stacy at the parade. Like I said, it's probably been about a year or so since I've actually seen Stacy. RJ included an article in from San Antonio Express newspaper about a law in New Jersey to protect transgender going into effect. And it seems kind of strange. You got a story about New Jersey transgendered in the San Antonio paper, and it made page 6A.
6A?
Yeah.
Not even the front page.
Well, you know, I mean, surprised it made that far up.
Yeah, me too.
Considering it there. Starting on this day, it was June 17th. State New Jersey joined 8 others in making it illegal for employers and landlords to discriminate against transgendered people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's New Jersey.
It's Jersey. Oh, you know.
By the way, RJ, good looking out.
You're like, what?
What?
RJ, good looking out. Keep your eyes open for more articles like that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
We really appreciate the help.
Yeah, it's been a long day. And I got another letter here from a new listener, Cedric.
Cedric?
Who is looking for a pen pal.
With or without the K on the end?
Without.
Uh-huh.
He's looking for a pen pal. He's not gay. He's curious. It's a little older picture. And I have to say this, Cedric. This has got to be the neatest handwriting I have gotten from an MBB or anyone else.
We can read this the first go round.
I would swear to God this came off of a computer printout.
It looks like a typewriter.
Not a typewriter. I mean, this is a very fancy.
It's very neat.
You know, almost like a hand printed Art Deco look.
Cedric, you have done your elementary school teachers proud.
I mean, it is printed, it is nice, it is neat. I mean,
I got to say, I really appreciate the time you took to make this letter, too. Because it takes
Jimmy,
a whole lot more time to write.
And there's no corrections
printed
in it.
Rather than cursive.
Wow.
Manuscript.
Wow.
That looks like it came off of a computer, practically. And there's his picture.
That's who wrote it.
It's a new MBB, Cedric.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Welcome to the show. Beautiful. We've got kind of bad luck with getting pen pals for our MBBs.
Oh, absolutely. We have the worst luck.
But you know, we'll pass along if someone's interested in there. He's 27.
And he's curious.
And he's curious, yeah, so. If you want to correspond with some of our MBBs, you can either send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org, or you can send us a snail mail at afterhours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Yes, you do.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
And we love your, no, not life.
Lifestyle is like painting your bedroom blue or being a Baptist.
Okay.
I have a life.
Okay.
We're queer.
And, or you, we want your news, your information, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
And we accept that all. We'll be back next week, fresh off from the event over at EJ's.
Oh, yeah, we will be beat, but we will be happy.
Starting at 9:01.
9:01, yes, 90.1.
Ridden hard and put up well.
So, there we go.
See you next week, and now, your PSAs. And after that, Laura Palooza.
You bet.
KPFT After Hours crew invites you to a special benefit for KPFT. The benefit happens Saturday, July 14th at EJ's Bar and Grill, 2815 Ralph Street. The night's festivities are open to all clubs, organizations, and performers. All proceeds will benefit KPFT. Again, the benefit happens Saturday, July 14th at EJ's Bar and Grill, 2815 Ralph Street. For more information, call James at 713-443-2299 or email crawford4161@yahoo.com.
This is KPFT Houston.
The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor, when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy, permitting the broadcast of...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.